about.
Hello. Too much information and man.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Is that so? He doesn't. It's are you constant. A regular Duck fan? You watch all the time. Him?
No, I'm gonna get high tonight, though. I'm gonna get very high tonight. I'm gonna get so f***ed up tonight. I'm like mother f***ing Zubak.
Who's the best elite coach in the world?
You.
Yeah, it's good enough.
The Wild Women. The Wild Women. The Rippin' and the Tearin'. The Rippin' and the Tearin'.
I'm pretty good with the penises.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Way funnier if they offer up the first name.
And now,
this is Coop Delicious. That's C-O-U-P-D-E-L-I-C-I-O-U-S. By the way, they call me Coop Delicious because I'm so delicious in your mouth.
Our feature presentation.
Remember how much we loved that guy?
We met him? Yeah.
We loved him so much because he was one of those weirdos and he had his little catchphrases and we thought he was going to be great. Then we met him and we talked to him and we were like, wow, this is bad. It was not good. Not fun.
He had applied for a job at the radio station, and we heard his tape and just fell very deeply in love with Coop Delicious. And then we had him come out and work one of our big concerts, I guess. And I don't know why we were surprised he wasn't good. There should have been some tip-offs along the way.
We certainly should have seen that coming, yeah.
By the way, before we get to your calls, 1-800-520-1067. That is the toll-free number to get on the air for the Thursday edition of Kevin Means What to Do Nephew. I just want to say hello and happy birthday to the gentleman who requested every clip in the open today, and it's our friend Kevin from the Kevin and Bean Archive who celebrates his birthday today. So every year on his birthday, he sends a note and says, hey, I have a list of some of my favorites, if you wouldn't mind. I'm always happy to accommodate because he does so much for us, kind of off the books a little bit. You know, the corporate may not know about him. If they do, they're cool for letting him exist. But he archives every second of every Kevin and Bean show, and it's an enormous research, you know, resource not only for listeners who may, you know, miss the show sometimes, and there's something that they want that's not on the podcast. But it's great for us. I can't tell you how many times we've gone back to it to find something that we don't have. So God bless Kevin and his family for being out there and doing that.
Yeah, I wondered when I was listening to that. I was like, why did Bean pull out the ducks thing again? I mean, that's pretty old. So it was him, huh? It was his.
He requested it, but I'm glad he did because I'd never get tired of hearing that. Yeah. That's maybe the all-time best moment with Kevin ever.
Yeah. No, me too. It's real fun.
So great, great story. Again, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. Please call. Please get on the air. Get a prize. I've never heard of this border town. It is called Prexedas G. Herrero. First of all, it's in Mexico, near the Texas border. It's in the Chihuahua province or state. Have you ever heard of a town that has a middle name?
No. What are you talking about, middle name?
The town is named after a Mexican revolutionary figure.
Oh.
The name of the town is Prexedas G. Herrero. That's the full name of the town.
I like it. Gives it more character. That way, if the town goes on a killing spree, you don't get it confused with other people.
It is. It's in the news this week. It's a town of about 8,500 people, and it's in the news because nobody wanted to be sheriff, so they offered it to a young woman who is 20, who is a criminology student, who I guess had done some sort of a school paper to try to figure out ways to make the town safer, and she had submitted it to City Hall or something, and they said, hey, no one else wants to be sheriff. Will you be our sheriff? They solicited her because they couldn't find anyone to take the job.
Now, no one wants to be sheriff because it's violent and drug trafficking and all that?
Yes. Oh. Yes. The Juarez and the Sinaloa drug cartels are battling for control of the highway that goes right past the town.
Wow.
It's the drug trafficking route that goes to Texas. And, we hear from time to time, and most of us don't even pay attention because it happens so often, but you see these stories about how many people turn up dead in Mexico as a result of the drug war down there.
Most of them heads cut off.
Yeah. They send a serious message when they kill you.
Yeah.
They don't just make you go to sleep. Okay?
It's not enough. You're going to put a bullet in my head and my heart. That's not enough. You have to literally sever my head.
Since President Calderon from Mexico declared war on the drug cartels 5 years ago, how many people do you think have been killed in the drug war down there?
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't. 500?
That's a reasonable guess.
Yeah.
28,000.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Is that bizarre?
And it's about to be 28,001?
I'm afraid so. Two nearby mayors and one assistant mayor from towns very close to this one have been killed in the last couple of weeks. I mean, this is a violent part of a violent state in a violent country. At least she has tremendous resources at her disposal. When she took office, she had 3 police officers.
All right.
She has since hired 10 more, so now she's got 13. Most of them are women, and most of them don't have weapons.
Good.
What? Wait.
Are they not trying?
Don't have weapons?
Don't have weapons, yeah.
Huh.
She says she's trying a different approach, by the way. She's trying a simple,
trying to not stop it?
Based on values approach. She's going door to door talking to people about making the community safer.
Wow.
Look, I wish her the best, but don't get too attached to her.
No kidding.
That's what I'm saying.
It looks like the higher-ups are just going, look, listen, we don't have an answer right now, but let's offer this person up, and then when this person is gone, then we'll have to really figure it out.
It just doesn't seem ideal for a 20-year-old woman to take on a job like that, you know?
But I mean, she's got 10 new cops without weapons.
Well, she does have that.
So, that's
good. I mean, it's hard to think of a job that would be less dangerous for somebody than running a Mexican border town police department.
It would be more dangerous than that.
Yeah, right, yeah. More dangerous. Right. Yeah, exactly. I don't get it, but please stop by and say hello to her if you're really going to be in Mexico next week, Kevin.
I am, but I'm hoping
wish,
not to be in that
well.
Town. All right, time for your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067. That's the phone number. It's Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
We're sorry. You missed first dial is 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
This time of year, all the theme parks in Southern California pull out all the stops to make your Halloween scary, and Six Flags Magic Mountain has their Fright Fest, brought to you by Snickers, now open weekends through Halloween night. That's your prize at 1-800-520-1067. That's what Joseph gets for being on line one and getting us going today on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Joseph, what'd it do?
Ow. Somebody just picked up the line. I can't go to it.
Well, now, why would they do that?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
This is Eric's
first day, the intern, yeah, Eric, so give him some slack.
Maybe he heard us say, hey, let's go to Joseph, and he thought, all right, let's go to Joseph.
Yeah, so he's in there having a conversation with him. No, I think he hung up is the problem there. So.
It's too bad because he had a great topic, which is Kim Kardashian vowing to never pose nude again. Now that she's 30, she thinks nobody wants to see that anymore.
Yeah, wrong.
Wrong, right?
Wrong. That's a bad decision.
Yeah. All right.
Look, we're not demanding it. We're just saying never say never.
Yeah, and 30, by the way, is the new 20. So don't even worry about it, Kim. You look fine. Christina, line 2. Hi, Christina. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning. What it do?
What it do?
All right. Well, I have to say, I saw Dr. Drew on the news yesterday, yeah. And I used to like him. Now I think he's kind of a douche.
Oh, no. What happened?
Well, first of all, he's not a real doctor, and I think that's important to get that word out
he
there.
He is
know,
a real doctor.
I don't know why that doesn't. I don't know why that doesn't bother anybody, but I think I know why you're calling. Tell us.
Okay. He said that it only takes 3 experiences with marijuana to become addicted.
It takes 3... experiences with marijuana to become addicted.
Yes. And I've been smoking pot for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I'm not addicted. I don't go crazy. I can quit when I want to for jobs, for lack of money, whatever.
That does seem like an exaggeration. And if he really said it that way, it seems like he's one of the few people that say it that way.
Yeah, he did. Huh. He said only 3 times.
Well, I mean, we're going to have him on the show today. We'll ask him.
We'll ask him, yeah. He was asked, and Psycho Mike may know something about this, working with him on Loveline, but he was asked his thoughts on Prop 19, the very controversial ballot in the state of California this year about legalizing marijuana. And he would not endorse it, but he said it's up to the voters. He would not give his opinion on whether it should be enacted into law or not.
Huh. Mike, do you know? You have any input on this?
Well, I do know that if you are have a proclivity to being an addict, it doesn't take very much use of marijuana, which is considered a pretty unaddictive substance, to become addicted to it. Especially if you're, like I said, if you have the genetic gene or if you are...
But if you have the genetic gene, even still, if it's not an addictive drug...
Well, people say that it's not an addictive drug because it doesn't give you immediate physical addictive kind of symptoms like stimulants like cocaine and methamphetamine.
Right, or withdrawals.
But it does give... pretty noticeable withdrawals for addicts. Yeah, I mean, you get someone who's a daily smoker and you tell them to stop immediately, it's going to be pretty significant, the depression, the headaches, and stuff like that.
Huh. Well, don't be an addict. Just smoke it every day. That's what we're saying.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Do it right.
All right. One more. Brianna, line 5. Hi, Brianna. Thanks for calling. Welcome to the Kevin Amine Show. What to do?
Hi. I had sex last night. It wasn't all that.
You had sex last night, and it wasn't all that.
Yeah.
Now, why do you say it wasn't all that?
Because it was small. And even with the piercing, it didn't do anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why are you evaluating? Was it your first time or something?
Yeah.
It was her first time.
Oh, well, that's an important part of the story that you kind of left out, Brianna. Well, you're the first time you do a lot of things, it's not everything it can be.
Almost universally, and this comes from my personal experience and, you know, all the hundreds of calls we take on Loveline a week about losing your virginity, almost universally, your first time sucks, Brianna.
Yeah.
So that's okay is what we're saying. It's not like that's
don't
out of
give
the ordinary.
Up.
Don't give up, right.
Are you
don't
in
give
a
up on him or don't give up on any, like, being straight. Mm-hmm. Like,
are you a living, breathing human, Brianna?
I've been called cold-hearted, actually.
Cold-hearted.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just...
It was you. It was her.
Yeah, I think he was probably fine. I think you're the one who failed to deliver. I think it was worse for him than it was for you. That's what I think.
Oh, my gosh. Like...
That's sad.
Okay.
It's like, I'm done. That's it. Really.
Yeah, no, wait.
It depends. Are you hot?
How old are you?
I'm 20.
No, you can't be done at 20. You can't say...
We're going to need pictures to decide.
Yeah, you need to email us a picture. She's high right now, by the way. You need
She's
to
so high.
Email us a picture, and that way we can tell you whether you should continue or not. But I think we're blaming last night on you.
Why?
I don't know. Just the things you've said. You've given us some clues. We're good. We got a good gut, and we think it was your fault.
My fault.
What do you think, Bean? Right?
Absolutely. No question.
All right.
No question.
There you go.
Believe me, you're terrible at sex because you've never done it. No, I'm serious. Because you've never done it before. And that is going to affect your enjoyment of it, as well as the poor, unfortunate young man who had to sleep with a fat chick.
Oh, how do you know she's fat?
Just try to get her to send photos.
Oh, all right.
All right. All right, Brianna. We got to go. Thank you for calling, my dear.
Yeah, that is the easiest way. Call people fat, and then they'll send it to prove it. No, I'm not. Look.
Exactly. It. Yeah. Exactly.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amine Show, shall we?
USA! USA! USA!
Wow, crowd very excited about the program today, I guess.
I like it. Dr. Drew, as we mentioned, we talked to him on Thursday, so we'll be able to ask him about that. If he's a little douchey. I think I knew that clip from the girl saying it, so we can play it for him.
Why does he hate America? That's what I want to ask him.
Nick Swarsden in the studio today. Talking about his show Pretend Time.
He's a comedian, don't you know?
He is, yes. Let's see here. We have we got to give you an update on Dave, the King of Mexico, because our producer Alex is on vacation, and Dave is not bringing the heat. You know what I mean? When your ace goes, you know, 7 innings in a baseball game, and then you just need 2 innings out of the reliever. You just need 2 innings, and he comes out and sees all over the place. He's walking people. That's not good for anyone.
Not at all. It's a complicated job being the producer of the show because there are a lot of elements that have to work together, and there are a lot of balls in the air. And Dave may not have the commitment to make sure that everything gets handled.
He's not a juggler.
No, he's not a juggler.
So anyway, we'll tell you about that. Also, the smallest part in show business. We're going to look for your stories if you're just barely, really on the edges of the fringe of just the outside of show business. And this story comes to us because the woman whose hand is on the Twilight book holding an apple, she's apparently hanging outside of Barnes and Noble and telling people, hey, that hand is me. Can I sign it? Can I sign your book? And that seems odd to us. Like, that's her whole claim to fame. And if it is, really, you try to milk it? That seems weird. So, the smallest part in showbiz. Maybe we saw your foot. Maybe you were a corpse on a TV show or a movie. So, we'll get you to call in. And what else do we have? We have Dick Cheney. I don't know if you saw this story, but Dick Cheney shot a guy in the face. And there was a story that came out a couple days ago that he still has never apologized. He's never said, dude, hey, you know that whole thing where I shot you in the face? Sorry about that.
It does seem like... that wouldn't be asking too much.
Right. That's a bit of a shocker. That seems like that's a given, and he should have done it on his own. And but the guy who got shot in the face came out finally and said, hey, he never said he was sorry. Just the opposite, by the way. The guy that got shot in the face went out and had a press conference and got and apologized for being in the way of the buckshot or whatever it is.
Because the vice president would have come back and finished the job if the guy hadn't taken responsibility for being in the way of a bullet.
Yeah. So anyway, that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Joe Rogan talks about UFC 121 at the Honda Center of Anaheim coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph Garman joins us. It's time for a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
The following message brought to you by the New Jersey Butchers Association. This year for Halloween, ladies, don't try to recreate the Lady Gaga meat dress, says the New Jersey Butchers Association.
Wait, don't?
Don't. Do not don't. Do that for your Halloween parties as you head out to celebrate the holiday this year. Because, as the New Jersey Butchers Association says in their press release, meat is bloody, unhygienic,
right,
wet, cold, clammy, and it will rip through the stitches and fall off.
Right.
Don't make a meat dress.
Are they really, really worried about that?
And thanks for shopping, New Jersey Butchers.
That's odd.
Well, they do say that Lady Gaga is number one for Halloween costume inspiration this year, and she's got a lot of different looks to choose from, and that one certainly, Ralph, would be one that people would think about.
Right, but wouldn't you
think... Who would be thinking about
it? No, you would think about making
you'd think
a fake...
about it, and then you'd say, no, I'm not going to do
that. You would
make
that. A fake meat dress. It would look like it or whatever, but you're not going to use real meat.
You run down to the fake meat store, and you pick up some fake meat, and you put it together in a dress.
No,
just that simple. No, I don't know what you're saying.
You can draw anything, right?
I can't draw
anything.
I'm just
saying,
yes,
most
I'm very
people,
gifted artist.
If you're going as Lady Gaga and you choose it, I'm guessing they're not going to go get a bunch of raw meat and try to stitch it together.
That message brought to you by the Kevin Ryder Butcher
I'm just
Association.
Saying. I don't have a butcher association.
You don't?
Don't.
Don't is what we're saying.
If you're thinking of it, don't.
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 Sad news for people who like golden showers everywhere. Penthouse magazine founder Bob Guccione has passed away at the age of 79 years old today after a long battle with cancer. Penthouse magazine was first published in 1969 here in the States, originally developed in the late 60s in the UK, where Bob was a struggling artist and photographer, and he started the magazine pretty much to help pay his bills while he tried to become a graphic artist and photographer. And the magazine became bigger than his career did, and he had to...
How about that?
He had to become a pornographer for a living. He, of course, became the first major competitor to Playboy magazine throughout the better part of the 70s and 80s. Here's the thing. Guccione died pretty much broke. Ended up owing about $45 million in back taxes to the United States. Sold off his art collection in 2002. His home was foreclosed upon after he declared bankruptcy. But in the 80s, during the heyday of Penthouse and the Penthouse Pets, he was worth $400 million. And it all went away.
Wow. Where's my golden shower?
Right here.
I need somebody to pee on me. Does anybody have to pee?
Apparently, it was a series of bad investments and his attempts to expand the Penthouse empire into a casino in Las Vegas that... and. AC, rather, in Atlantic City that never quite took off, and other failed projects, and the whole thing went away.
Doesn't it seem like $400 million is a number that you would have trouble getting rid of?
You think you're safe, don't you? I mean? You think if you had $400 million, well, the one thing I'll never have to worry about is money.
I might lose $100 million, I still have $300.
Just goes to show you, in the world of big finance, boys and girls, you're never safe. That's why I choose not to have any money.
That's
never
a choice,
have
is
to
it?
Worry about that, yep. Congratulations to Orleans Saints QB Drew Brees. He and his wife Brittany welcomed their second child, a son, into the world on Tuesday. Apparently, Drew asked his Twitter followers for some name ideas for the boy.
Okay.
All he and Brittany knew was they wanted to begin with the letter B. He received over 6,000 suggestions from his followers on Twitter, and they settled with Bowen.
Bowen?
Bowen Brees.
Is that a real thing, or is that made up?
B-O-W-E-N.
I'm not aware of that word, if it
Bowen.
Exists.
Bowen. I know Julie Bowen from...
Right.
From Modern Family.
That's weird.
But I'm not familiar with Bowen as a first name. However, it's Bowen Brees.
Did they say if they got it from the Twitter, or they just opened it up and got some ideas?
No, apparently. That's where. That's the one he chose.
That's odd.
So, congratulations, little Bowen.
Kind of sounds like he just made a name out of the letters in front of him playing words, you know, friends with words or whatever that app is called.
Scrabble?
No, you know, the hot one that Psycho Mike plays all
Words
the time.
Words with Friends is the name of it, yeah.
Yeah. Camille Grammer, soon-to-be ex-wife of actor Kelsey Grammer, has a new best friend, according to Star Magazine. She is now best buddies with a woman named Tammy Balisewski. That name doesn't mean anything to you, but it means something to Kelsey. This is the woman she stole Kelsey Grammer from.
That is
a bad team-up. That is a supervillain team-up right there. That's not who you want palling up.
So his current kind of ex is with his former ex. Wow.
Now they're getting together and comparing notes, and you know, plotting evil revenge of some kind.
Oh.
I've seen this. I've seen this in the movies. His car's going to be filled with fish or something, or next thing you know is a whoopee cushion someplace filled with nitroglycerin. I'm telling you, bad things are going to happen to Kelsey Grammer, so be prepared. And we rarely talk about theater on this show. However, we've done it twice this week, and Lisa May's on vacation, which tickles me endlessly.
What a burn.
The Merchant of Venice, which ran to sold-out audiences in Central Park earlier this summer, has reopened this week with Al Pacino in the title role of Shylock. So if you want to, you're in New York, you want to catch it, there's only 78 performances with Al Pacino performing in the lead, and a chance to see a guy, one of the great actors ever, live on stage.
He sure loves the Shakespeare, doesn't he?
Oh, come on now with the Will Shakespeare. Oh, if you prick me, do I not bleed? And there's a new Broadway show that even Kevin would like to see.
Oh, take it easy.
It is called Lombardi, based on the life of legendary quintessential NFL coach Vince Lombardi, who won many, many championships with the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
Played by Dan Lauria of the Wonder Years. He played the dad on that show.
Is it a musical?
It is not. It is apparently a play about him and his life and everything he went to and how he pretty much single-handedly expanded the sport of professional football to be embraced by America throughout the 60s.
He was the dominant one
then. He was the guy. Yeah. Still to this day, his teachings are used as motivational techniques and ways to get men to do things that they don't want to do, like hit each other with their heads, have their necks break.
Right.
Funnel the NFL hoopla with these head-to-head injuries.
Yep.
Mr. Lombardi would be very disappointed in the wussification of the league.
Yeah, he would. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Carrie Fisher, probably best known, even to this day, as Princess Leia of the Star Wars films, is 54 years old today. Actor Ken Watanabe is 51 years old. Singer-bassist Nick Oliveri, formerly of Queens of the Stone Age, is 39 years old today. Actor Jeremy Miller from Growing Pains is 34. Michael McMillan from True Blood celebrates his 32nd birthday. And TV personality Kim Kardashian celebrates her 30th birthday today. She's not getting naked anymore because now she's 30.
It's not rushed.
30! I haven't checked her expiration date, but I'm pretty sure it goes beyond today.
Yes.
So take those clothes off, kid. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 23 minutes after 6.
Thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Here's a story back in the news that I had kind of forgotten about and did not expect it would rear its ugly head. Listen up.
Well, it's been almost 5 years since Dick Cheney, former Vice President of the United States, shot Texas attorney Harry Whittington.
By the way, just as a side note, that may be one of the best things that's ever happened in my life.
Absolutely.
A sitting vice president shooting a dude in the head.
Yes.
That's awesome.
In the face and chest. And he's refusing to apologize to this day. The Washington Post revealed some previously unknown details today about how serious the injuries were. Whittington spent a week in the ICU and had a collapsed lung, and 30 pieces of lead are still lodged in his face and chest. After the incident, the White House blamed Whittington for the accident, saying he didn't follow hunting protocol because he didn't announce his presence to Cheney. Because of this, Whittington actually apologized to Shooter as soon as he got out of the hospital. The Post asked Whittington if Cheney ever apologized to him. His response was, quote, "I'm not going to go into that."
Wow.
How about that? By the way, who knew that buckshot lodged that many different places in your body and stayed there?
Well, I didn't because I don't hunt, but didn't that guy come out and apologize to Dick Cheney?
That's what he said in the story.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. Well, we have more questions about this than ever before, so let's bring the vice president on, shall we?
Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick, 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 Dick
Hi, Dick.
So?
just saying hello. Just haven't spoken with you in a long time, sir. How you been? I see that your former boss, President George W. Bush, is very much enjoying his retirement, being low-key, not being out there on the campaign trail, just being able to be a regular guy. Have you had the same experience since you left office?
No, because I don't spend my days playing with Legos.
Right?
I am an adult who does things.
Right.
I see. Okay. Well, it's good to have you on, but the story that is now back on the news, as you just heard, sir, is Dick Whittington, your friend who you shot in the face, is basically saying 5 years on, you still have never called him up just to apologize for doing that.
Well, he should have let me know he was there.
Right, but in the end, you shot him in the face.
I didn't shoot him in the end.
No, I'm saying at the end of the story. I'm just saying that, was he wearing an orange vest?
No.
Wasn't. Okay.
No, he was wearing a pheasant costume.
He was not wearing a pheasant costume.
Which I found confusing.
That's just not true.
He was dressed as a bear or a monkey. I can't tell.
they look the same to me. Right. But look, even if he was at fault, technically, even if it was an accident, it doesn't hurt to say, wow, I'm really sorry I shot you, does it? Just to make the guy feel better.
Well, no harm, no foul.
Well, there was harm.
What harm?
He still has buckshot in his body to this day.
Yeah, so?
He was in the hospital for a week.
You need iron in your diet.
Right, but not in the form of bullets. What?
It wouldn't hurt you to say, what's going on there?
Sorry, mailman. Surprised me.
Wow.
You can't just shoot
Should have said he was dropping off the mail. He should have said something.
He should have let you know he's coming?
That's right.
Wow.
You have to identify yourself. Here's the rules of hunting.
Okay, but just like with the mailman coming to your house, you have to expect there are other people in the woods when you go hunting. That's something you need to be aware of.
There's not a lot of people in the woods, first of all.
Okay.
That's why we have cities.
That's
where
true.
People live.
Right.
And animals live in the woods.
Right.
Right.
I thought I was shooting animals.
Right, but you shot a dude in the face.
If I shot him in the city, then I'd say, yeah, my bad. But he was in the woods.
All right, what if it's not my bad, but just I'm sorry that whole thing happened?
Sorry for what?
That he got shot in the face.
Okay.
I'm saying you don't even have to take responsibility. You can just say, I'm sorry it happened. The whole thing was weird and it must have been strange for you. You know,
what if I'm not sorry it happened? What if it was fun?
You liked shooting him in the face?
I didn't go out of my way to do it, but it's kind of fun afterwards.
It does say that he was a longtime friend. Is that true?
No.
No.
I don't even know this guy.
Okay.
His name's Dick.
I thought it was.
Maybe I'm wrong about it. Whittington.
Dick Whittington.
Dick. That's Don Draper, isn't it?
That's Dick Whitman.
Oh, sorry.
Surprised you watch Mad Men, Mr. President.
I love Mad Men. The good old days when you could bone your secretary and get drunk at work.
Yeah,
now we're all boring.
It was good
women's
times.
Rights and minorities and stuff.
Wow.
So, boy, he's a little looser with the tongue now that he's not in office, isn't he?
Yeah.
Dick Whittington isn't.
No, he's not.
He's got buckshot in his face.
He does, yeah.
What's he got, a lung? He's got a lung problem?
He had a collapsed lung when he was in intensive care.
Whatever.
It'd be pretty serious.
That's really painful.
I've got no heart, and I've been living for 20 years.
That's true.
You can bitch in about one lung.
Couldn't you take 1% of the responsibility just for not being aware of where the others were in your hunting party?
What?
Now who are you shooting at?
Sorry, the maid got here.
Cleaning
my house.
Well, why would you shoot at her?
Well, she surprised me. She's got to say, hey, I'm here.
She doesn't have a schedule? She's not supposed to be there on this day?
I don't know. I don't keep her schedule.
Well, I'm saying you're going to shoot people.
My Latina schedule keeper?
No, but...
What the hell?
No,
so, Dick,
you can keep track of them anyway.
Wow.
You're not going to apologize. You just did it. It was one of those things, and it was fun. So it's much like the Iraq War.
Crap.
Now what?
Just happened?
Who are you shooting at?
The hell out of me.
What?
Well,
the wife scared the hell out of me carrying the laundry in the room.
Well, you shouldn't have a loaded gun near you if you're that trigger happy.
I got to put a bell on her or something so I can hear her coming. Women. One
Who's
time they're not talking is when they should be.
Oh,
you with me, fellas?
We're not with you at all.
No. Never mind.
Thursday means Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us later on the Kevin and Bean Show, and funny man Nick Swardson coming up, too. Right now, time for the Kevin and Bean Afro Line on the air, just for you at 323-520-AFRO. Poor Omar, by the way, has to listen to the Afro Line every day when people call and leave messages. What percentage of the messages that are left actually make it to the air, do you know?
Oh, I'd guess less than, 2 or 3%. I mean, most of them you just have to...
just delete because they're bad. But this one,
most of them are about doo doo. I bet.
Probably, yeah. This one, though, this is gold, and I'm not exactly sure where it came from or what it means, but.
What's with all the Mexicans?
Oh. All right, you ready for a Chilean miners joke?
Absolutely.
So they got out of the Chilean miners out of the mine. What would have happened if they pushed the piano down the mine shaft? We would have got A flat minor.
At least that joke is based on the very realistic pushing a grand piano down a mine shaft.
Right.
So that's good.
I have a joke.
What, Bean?
That's not a euphemism for anything, is it?
No.
It kind of sounds like it would be.
I think it was this actual setup for that joke.
I have a joke. You know, Mario and Luigi, you know their overalls. You know what they're made out of? Dadum, dadum, dadum.
What is happening?
You still like jokes?
What's happening? I never have liked jokes.
This dude found something funny.
Oh, my God. Davy Crockett? Oh, shit. That had me laughing so much, and it's not the Davy Crockett. It's everyone's reaction to it was absolutely hilarious. Thank God that happened.
Okay.
Thank God that happened. I put up number 2 in my list of the top 10 amazing real breasts today, as it is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Hey, guys are talking about some of the best breasts in the world? Come on, with Monica effing Bellucci. Kevin, if this don't get on the list, I'm going to have to American media. What did you do?
We had a lot of response to the conversation we had yesterday about how difficult it is when you only have 10 spots on your list for the best breasts, and there are, you know, 50 hot actresses and singers and models that come to mind, all of whom are legitimate contenders.
All
you can't
of whom
make everybody happy
to be on the top 10 list, right? So
yeah, what are you going to do?
You literally have to leave people off that should be there.
But I will tell you that Monica Bellucci is one that we are hearing a lot about, and we're also hearing a lot about Salma Hayek. I'm coming after you if Salma Hayek doesn't end up being number 1 on the list, because otherwise it's bogus.
Well, I'm telling you right now that I have already picked, that I'm not changing my mind, so I know who it is.
Okay, so we got to wait till tomorrow.
Have to wait till tomorrow at 6 a.m.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, Dave King Mexico was right. If you drive fast enough, the raindrops will miss your windshield. Woo!
Yeah, that's not true. That's a falsehood. I tried it. And he doesn't use his windshield wipers. He says, oh, I can see better without them. No, you can't see at all.
There's a reason they invented windshield wipers. It's because people couldn't see out of their windshields when it rained.
Right. But apparently that guy is with Dave. If you drive fast enough... He said the raindrops miss your windshield, and I don't think I'm not sure that's science.
Kevin and Bean, do you smell that? Do you smell it? It's almost here. McRib! 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 The McRib is almost here, baby! Woo! November 2nd, can't wait! McRib! McRib! McRib.
He likes the McRib, that guy?
That's a good sandwich, by the way. I think that's the King of Mexico, by the way.
I thought it was. Yeah. It sounded like it.
I said, when I heard, I can't wait, I knew it was the day.
What's with the cult of the McRibs, by the way? Can't you get ribs at a million restaurants?
You can, but the McRib is a taste all its own.
Not a rib, by the way.
Hey, listen. McDonald's French fries has their own taste. The McRib sandwich, same thing, their own taste. You can't.
Why is it not a rib, Mike?
Because there's no ribs in it. It's not from the rib of the animal.
What is it?
I don't know.
You don't know.
It's a patty of some
sort. You don't know.
Kevin, is there bones in there?
No, but it doesn't mean it's not rib meat, the McRib.
Okay, then
the
meat. Picked it all apart and put it into a patty?
Listen, I'm not running McDonald's. I'm just happy they're bringing it back. Take it easy. We've got a lot of interest in this song recently.
Well,
Well done.
Come on now. That is pretty good.
Beautiful.
And I think this might be, and you can find this at kevinandme.com if you want to go to the Internet Roundup and search Chaka Roan. If you'd like it for yourself, I mean, you could download it, you know, put it on your iPod or whatever, and listen to it all day long, like this girl.
What the f***? Stop playing that stupid song! I hate it. I was thinking about it all weekend, that Chaka Roan song, whatever the f*** he's saying. Shut the f*** up! And then you guys play it again.
That is what she means, play it again. We've been focusing on the na-na-na because it's absurd, but I'd like to start at a different point of the song so that you can understand that his regular rapping is just as absurd. Sing it if you don't.
So he's got it, man. He's got it.
That's that song. KevinandMe.com, search Internet Roundup and Chaka Roan, and you can find it and just play it repeatedly all day.
Next half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to be looking for you if you've had the smallest part in show business. You're barely in the movie, like you're a...
Oh, that's not funny. Step up 3D. Oh, that's not a funny segment to do when you're talking about those peoples.
That's a perfect example of a guy in a crowd scene in Step Up 3D. That's what's on Dave's resume. The King of Mexico was in that movie,
oh,
believe it or not.
I'm the star of it. Yeah. I dance in 3D.
And by the way, he's shown us the picture. We're still not sure it's him.
Oh, he's me in Step Up.
Good old Step Up. Anyway, we're going to be telling you why that topic is top of mind coming up here and looking for your calls if you're barely in show business. That'll be coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now Ralph is here with the Showbiz Pete. What's going on?
Well, Tuesday on the Ellen Show, Kanye West dropped by flashing his bottom teeth, claiming he has actually replaced the entire bottom row of his teeth with diamonds.
Awesome.
Not just putting a grill on that is filled with gold and diamonds.
But the teeth
like
are gone?
Ellen said. You said you just put those on your bottom teeth. No, he said, I had all my teeth removed and I replaced them with diamonds. To which now dentists all over America are saying, just not possible to do.
So he's lying.
Yes, but he's not moving off his story. He is saying that he had his entire bottom row of teeth replaced with diamonds and now he has diamond teeth.
Okay.
It's like a Bond villain.
Wow. That's bizarre.
Dentist tells Entertainment Weekly, I really doubt that the gold was extended into his actual socket within the gum and bone to replace the actual teeth themselves. There's no way you can just place gold into the gum or bone without any connection to your natural teeth. It just can't be done.
That's bizarre.
Presented with these facts, Kanye has answered, no, I really did it.
Okay.
It's so nice just to lie.
It's not, is what he said, basically.
It's not.
It's not, as our friend Dodo says. It does kind of raise the bar on other rappers who want to brag and show off their bling.
Yeah, they're going to have to get like entire bones replaced with gold. You have to like get your femur taken out and be put in with like a gold femur or a diamond femur.
Diamond chin.
Oh, diamond chin would be great.
That's good.
Just have your skin peeled off, replaced with ermine. Just be fur covered. What I'm going to do. I'm going to be covered in chinchilla. Have my actual skin replaced with animal skin. Could be a brand new competition. I like it.
You're crazy.
Tuesday is the new Rock Band 3D video game coming out everywhere. And apparently, one of the artists featured on that game is the longtime smash hit singer-songwriter Billy Joel. Apparently has a dozen songs available for Rock Band 3. Here's the thing. He really didn't ever think about putting his songs for Rock Band 3 and never really had any interest in connecting his music with the game, but there's a great story behind it. He said, I had never allowed my music to be used in a game before, but I read an Entertainment Weekly review of NBC's The Office, and it changed my mind. Apparently, one of the episodes, a character alludes to Rock Band featuring Billy Joel, and the critic in Entertainment Weekly said, God forbid that ever should happen. So I called my people immediately and said, get me in that Rock Band game.
I love that.
Then I wrote the critic saying, every time I get a check, I will give him a little nod. So it's just a big F you, basically, from Billy Joel to the critic from the Entertainment Weekly, which I think is the best reason to do anything.
Hilarious.
Suck it.
especially when it's going to make you a ton of money.
Yeah, that's so funny.
I may take some heat for this, but Billy Joel's music to me has aged so poorly. It does not hold up when I hear it today.
You're not taking heat from me on that.
What do you think, Ralph?
I'm a fan. I like lyrics. I think he's a great lyricist. I still enjoy his music. A lot of the stuff that has been overexposed over the years, I can't listen to anymore. But there's some lesser known Billy Joel music that I really enjoy.
Okay.
That's just me.
I like lyrics, too. That's why I'm into Chaka Ron.
Yeah, I know. You're all about the lyrics.
That's right.
Kevin listens. He writes all the lyrics down until he memorizes them and just...
Well, Kevin is very detail-oriented. That's what you need to know about him.
How many times have we heard
very specific.
Say, that's what that song is? I never knew that. I never heard that.
Yeah.
Jackass 3D made $50 million its first weekend. And, of course, as you can imagine, people at Paramount are saying, we'd love to have a sequel, to which Johnny Knoxville told the L.A. Times, we could put it out now if you want.
Yeah, because they have enough for another movie.
We shot two movies worth of footage. We have so many bits that we didn't even turn into Paramount because we were so swamped with ideas, but it's all funny stuff. Ideas were just coming out of us left and right. So whenever they're ready to put it together, Jackass 4D, I guess, will be ready to go into theaters.
They were talking early next year they were going to do 3.5 or whatever they call it.
Yeah. Can't wait. Another day, another casting story about certain actors seem to be connected with every project that comes out. Johnny Depp, once again, connected to a new project. A remake of the classic detective series, The Thin Man.
Oh, never heard of it.
This was a series of books written by a detective novelist named Dashiell Hammett, who created these two characters, Nick and Nora Charles. And basically, the character is a hard-drinking retired detective who marries a rich girl. So he retires, but they like solving murders together as kind of a kick, so they go around solving crimes while living the life in high society, drinking, partying, that kind of thing.
They made about, I don't know, five or six at least movies in a popular series, Kevin, that were enormous hits at the time and hold up great today.
The thing about these two characters is that it's constant bantering going back and forth. They're very smart and very funny, and they have this really luxurious lifestyle, and yet for fun they go out and solve crimes and stuff. Could be a very entertaining series if it's done well, I think. So we'll have to wait and see. And, you know, I love the collectibles. This is a fascinating story to me. The very first single by the White Stripes was auctioned off last week. It is called Lafayette Blues. It was released in 1998 on Italy Records. Apparently the first single of the White Stripes went for $18,000 last week.
Wow.
For diehard White Stripes fans, the single is sort of the holy grail of collectibles. One of the reasons is because Jack White hand-painted the sleeve for the single.
That's interesting.
So you get a little piece of Jack White original art as well as you do get the single.
Do you know, if you download that on iTunes, do you get the art? Does it come through?
Yeah, it comes right through. It's like a little printer on your phone.
Okay.
And it just boop, 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 just prints it out.
Right. I didn't know how that worked.
All right. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kim Kardashian is 30 years old today.
Well, yeah, Nobel. Come on now. That was a little late.
What a remarkable, remarkable career she has carved out of having no talent whatsoever.
None.
She has done nothing, really, of any sort of entertainment value.
She did the sex tape.
I've seen much better sex tapes.
And she's hot.
She's hot, but there's a lot of hot.
That's it.
But she has done nothing.
You're
she
right.
has created nothing. She has given nothing.
Her job now is to walk out on a stage and wave to people and get a $10,000 check. I mean, that's what she does for a living.
Oh, she's got like a jewelry line now and a clothing line and stuff that aren't very good. She's remarkable. Hmm. It is truly a phenomenon.
And what do you think she's worth, by the way? $50 million?
Probably in that neighborhood. Yeah.
Yeah.
For really doing nothing. For
just being
no
hot.
One.
Just being hot, that's all.
Yeah.
Paris Hilton must hate her. Can you imagine? Paris is sort of off the radar now. Nobody really cares. Kim Kardashian now has taken the title of most famous person who does nothing.
Yeah.
She's 30 years old today. Michael McMillan from True Blood is 32. Jeremy Miller from Growing Pains is all grown up. He's 34 years old today. Nick Oliveri, formerly of Queens of the Stone Age, turns 39 today. Ken Watanabe from Inception, another feature films, is 51. And Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia herself, celebrates her 54th birthday. She has aged well, that Princess Leia, doesn't she? Don't you want to see her in that slave bikini in front of Jabba the Hutt,
just
like she used to?
Nope.
No?
No.
Really?
Really?
Nope.
Really?
No.
I didn't want to see her then in that.
You didn't? She was hot then, that scene.
She was hot for a Star Wars movie.
Oh, Kevin.
I'm saying she's fine, but no, I don't want to see her now.
Kevin. Oh, Kevin.
Just saying.
Now that she looks more like a Tauntaun than she does Princess Leia, I don't think anyone really is interested that much. I'm Ralph Garman. I welcome to Showbiz.
Funny man Nick Swarsden on the show later on today, and it's Thursday. That means we catch up with Dr. Drew Pinsky. That's coming up, too. We did a story for you a couple weeks ago about a young lady named Kimbra Hickey who is very upset because she's not more famous. And she believes that she's made a huge impact in the Twilight world because her hands are pictured on the cover of the first Twilight book. Those are her tiny little delicate hands holding that apple on the book jacket. That's her contribution to show business right now. And damn it, she wants to be recognized.
She's saying that was major exposure for her hands. Which it was, by the way.
Her hands were seen by millions of people, but so what?
Right, exactly. It could have been anyone's hands, you know, with a few exceptions of people who have ugly hands. But for the most part, I mean, it's just, she says, according to the story, she will at times hang out near the cash register at Barnes & Noble and wait. And then if somebody buys it, she'll go, hey, you want me to sign that? And they'll go, who are you? And she said, those are my hands on the cover. And she'll ask them if she could sign the book. Now, that seems a little pathetic, right?
Very much so. I would think you got paid $300 for them to take a picture of your hands. That's all the recognition you need, as far as I'm concerned. But Twilight fans are crazy, and she carries an apple around in her purse so that she can recreate the shot for people.
Oh, yeah, prove it. I got an apple right here. Watch this.
How desperate is she to be famous if that's what she's doing, if she's basically forcing her hands on people?
Here's her quote. It was too big a deal just to let it be. Now, I'm going to suggest it wasn't. It was really more the book and the story and the author. The hands on the front cover, insignificant.
Yeah, completely irrelevant. Yeah. Could have been a black cover, a blank cover, a white cover. Nothing on the cover would have sold just as much.
I never see myself as having perfect hands, she explained. I guess I'm just lucky they photograph well.
Okay. So we started thinking about this broad, and then we thought, can we find someone who's less in show business than Kimbra Hickey? Or is that the lowest possible rung of the show business ladder? Because let's face it, it takes thousands and thousands of people to put a project on the air, a TV show or a movie. And a lot of those people are not the stars. And a lot of those people have tiny, tiny roles. And those are the people that we are focusing on, the people who are on something for a second.
Right, in an insignificant way. Like Dave the King of Mexico was in Step Up 3D, or as he calls it, Step Up 3D.
Or was he?
They flew him to New York. He was in one of the big dance scenes. I went to that movie, and I spent the whole time scouring the crowd because I wanted to see his performance. Wasn't in it. Not in it. So then I come in on Monday, and he shows me a screen cap that somebody had sent a picture. And there's an arrow pointing at somebody that looks, I don't know, 50-50, sort of like Dave. And that was supposedly him, and that was his only scene in the movie.
It could have been any random Puerto Rican, but Dave is claiming it's him, right?
Yes, exactly.
So we're looking for your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You have a very, very tenuous hold on show business. Maybe you were not even an actor. Maybe you're just right place, right time. They used you for something that we've seen. We want to hear from you. Let's try DJ on line one. He's in a movie for less than a second. This All is right. our man. DJ, right. Welcome to the show. What's going on?
Morning. I was in the opening scene of Pirates 3.
Okay.
For like two frames. I was one of the drummers.
Yeah.
Two frames. So you were one of the drummers. They cut so quickly that you almost just missed it.
Well, if you look between the horse and the pile of shoes, you can see me.
Okay. Is it easy to see you, or do you have to literally almost slow it down? That's good. This is good.
You do have to like frame by frame.
Oh, see, that's awesome.
It was me and like nine other people.
Now,
how'd you get that job?
It was a friend of a friend that was like, hey, we need drummers.
And do you stand outside of movie stores and offer to sign their stuff?
Hey, you know, I was a drummer in that movie, Pirates 3.
Yeah, I do.
You do? All right,
well done. Thank you, DJ. Here's an email from Leroy, by the way. He says, I was scared running pedestrian in Spider-Man. That was my role. Scared running pedestrian. It was such a commanding performance that it led to an even bigger role as biker number 7 in the upcoming Green Hornet film. So Leroy is on his way, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, I love it.
Let's take Gina, line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. I know we have a lot of listeners around the fringes of show business listening to us in Southern California. We want to hear your stories of the smallest possible role that you can imagine. Gina, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Listen to you guys all the time. My son's probably on his way to school listening to you guys right now.
Oh, that's not a good choice on your part, but thank you very much. No smallest problem. Part in showbiz.
Smallest part. When I was 18, 17, they were filming Baywatch, the pilot episode, and me and my girlfriend were down there.
All right.
And they're like, will you guys run across the beach for us? And so we did in our bikinis, and see us for a split second on the pilot episode of Baywatch.
Only on the pilot episode.
Fantastic. How about that?
I like, did at any point did you turn to your friend and go, these people aren't from Baywatch?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Just some guys wanting us to run.
Watching it, we watched it, and it was so funny because we're like, I think that was us. And we had to rewind it.
Yeah, guess, you know what? If that's the pilot, it's before anyone knew anything about Baywatch. So
and you were thinking, there's no way this show's going to make it.
Wow.
Exactly. And I cracked up because I was like, wow, we were on a really famous show.
You were on a famous show for less than a second. Yeah.
You need to insist to this day in 2010 that people refer to you as Baywatch's Gina.
I like it.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's take Daniel on line 2, 1-800-520-1067. Daniel, you weren't even on the show, just your picture was? Is that your story?
I'm on a magazine cover that is probably in like a dentist office or something, where it's just as soon as it goes to the actor, he's holding my magazine, and you see the very top of my head, and that's about it.
All right.
what show were you on?
iCarly.
iCarly, okay. And what was the magazine? Why did they need to dummy up a fake magazine?
It was probably, I think, from what the Propmaster said, it was a dentist office, so they had a sports magazine. So I'm on the cover of, like, it's not SI, it's like sports something or else, whatever.
Yeah, they can't use real magazines sometimes because then they got to pay them or some BS
just
like that.
Put a cover over it and call it another name, and I'm a hockey player on it, and that's about
now,
it.
Now, can you meet? Do you meet a lot of chicks by telling them you're iCarly's Daniel?
I do not.
Yeah. Okay. Good. I'm glad to hear that.
It's probably not the appropriate age for him to be asking anyway, but that's pretty good. I mean, that's pretty small. That's tough to beat. It's just a picture of him.
Minuscule. I mean, you can just see my face, you know, just my goatee for a split second, my eyes and the helmet. And
I mean, the last girl was running for 2 seconds on the Baywatch. That's a huge role compared to you on the cover of a magazine.
I think right now you're the current leader. I think honestly, that's the smallest role in show business. You didn't even show up on set. They didn't even they didn't even film you. You actually were just in a photograph.
All right, you're the guy.
Well done. All right, we want to hear your stories. The smallest role in show business. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls after this on the Kevin. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the smallest role you ever had in Hollywood. I guess mostly people are calling in with films and television show appearances. The story that got us started was the woman whose hands were used. She was the hand model for the cover of the Twilight book. That's her entree into show business. Listen to this. Ken writes in, I was on a Scrubs episode. You can see me clear as day as a background patient. I'm so proud. Then they cut the scene out for syndication.
Oh.
Phil writes in, my son was an elf in Santa Claus 3. He was in it for less than a second. It's just a red blur, but he's in it.
All right. Now, we're trying to beat the smallest role in showbiz. It started with the girl with the hands on the Twilight book. And I think then we had the girl that was running on the beach in a pilot episode of Baywatch.
Right.
And then we had a guy that was on a magazine cover. It wasn't even him. It was just a picture of him.
iCarly.
iCarly. Here's an email from Sean, and you tell me if this is less significant. I was the sound effect of a spit take for Avatar: The Last Airbender. I worked, by the way, the Nickelodeon cartoon. So this isn't Avatar the movie. This is the Nickelodeon cartoon. I worked on the production, and they asked me to spit water into a trash can while they recorded it. So Sean, sound effect of a spit take.
Okay, that's great. I'm going to say that may be very close to the top of the smallest role in show business, but then you haven't talked to Ginger on line 8 yet.
No, I haven't. Hi, Ginger.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
All right, so we just heard from the guy whose voice was heard spit-taking in the animated version of Avatar, but I think your role may even be smaller. Tell people what you did.
That's a tough one to beat, but I was on the set of The Big Lebowski. I went on as an extra, and one of the ADs said, "We think you're wonderful. We would like to feature you in the film." So there's a scene on the beach where there's a big party, and everybody's around the bonfire, and I play the dancing shadow on a giant rock. So all you see is my body dancing and moving.
But you, come on, so, ladies and gentlemen.
Is this Ginger Lynn?
Yes.
Oh, so
hi, Ginger.
So you're dancing, but we don't see any part of your body, just your shadow.
Just my shadow.
That's pretty good.
That's all. See, the other guy, at least you could hear him. This one, you can't hear you or see you. We only see your shadow. That's amazing.
I think that beats Photograph on magazine.
I do, too.
All right, Ginger, you're in the lead. Nicely done.
And by the way, what a waste of your abilities to use you in that way, but very funny. Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you.
Wow, how are we going to beat that? All right, let's try Rachel. I don't think she beats it, but I think we are getting into an area where you're not actually even seen on screen. Hi, Rachel. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. I was on Yes Gear about 10 years ago.
What's Yes Gear?
It's a TV show.
Okay.
It's on TBS now in rerun.
All right.
My kids were on the show, and they needed to run it to the woman who was playing their mom,
mm-hmm.
and they wouldn't do it. So I put on the bathrobe that she was wearing, and they ran up to me instead, and you could see just the tip of my elbow for about maybe 10 seconds.
Look at that.
Tip of your elbow.
Tip yes, of your elbow.
Wow.
On Yes Dear. That's fantastic.
Yes. Wow.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Billy. We're going bigger again here. Billy was in a music video. I don't think we've had any of those yet today. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Billy, what'd you do?
Good morning, guys. I actually I work in TV and have for 2 years. I'm around sets like every day.
Okay.
And the only thing I've ever done was ran across the new Linkin Park video and you see my arm. That's the only reason you know it's me is because of the tattoo.
So you were running, but they didn't show your body. The only part that got in the video was your arm?
You see a quarter of my beard and my arm.
All right. Quarter of beard. That's pretty small.
Quarter of beard.
It's up there with elbow for the last one. Thank you very much for the call. Hey, Kevin and Bean, Lana writes in, you can see my side profile and part of my ass on an Entourage episode from season 5 when Ari is at Wolfgang Steakhouse in Beverly Hills. It was exciting.
You wonder if, like, it comes on in reruns and go, just a minute, here's my ass. Right there, yes! You think they do that, these people?
I bet they do. I mean, several of the people that have emailed us have said that they had viewing parties for their episode when it aired. And then you can imagine how disappointed their friends were when they left.
All right, let's go to Jen, see if we can get a winner here. Hi, Jen.
Hello.
Hi. Smallest part in showbiz. What were you?
Oh, my God. I definitely have the smallest part in show business. Many, many years ago, I had drawn a poster of Alphabet for my niece.
Mm-hmm.
And I had them made up into actual posters. I'd done original painting, had them made into actual posters, thinking I would sell them and make, you know, millions of dollars.
Right.
And, of course, they never went anywhere. And then one day I was watching a Seinfeld episode, and my poster was in the background on the wall.
All right.
How about that?
So your artwork, but not you in any way.
Not me in any way. Well, my name is on the bottom of the poster, I suppose.
Yeah, if somebody were to stop it and then focus in on it and bring in CSI Miami and have
magnify it like 100 times. Yeah.
So you had no idea that your artwork was going to be on the Seinfeld? You just happened to see it?
Yeah, no, it was. Yeah, I didn't see it the first time. My niece that I'd made the poster for in England, she had seen the episode and called me and told me about it. So I watched it in reruns.
Wow!
And then I saw it in the background, and it's literally like 10 seconds in the background of a scene.
And you got like millions of dollars for that?
Oh yes, I'm retired now.
Oh, that's great news. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for calling.
So we got painted poster in Seinfeld. That's pretty small.
It is.
On the magazine cover, and then we have Ginger Lynn's dancing shadow on a rock.
I mean, look, they're all great. I mean, what can you say? I mean,
how do you compare the two?
Yeah, what's smaller?
Yeah. That's what she said. So, yeah, so I guess we have people that are just barely in showbiz. And then there's the rest of us that have done a few things, and it's super, super embarrassing, and we don't want to tell you about it. But that's the smallest job in showbiz. And again, the woman's name, in case you would like her signature, is Kimbra Hickey. She's the one with the apple, and her hands are holding the apple on the cover of Twilight the book.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, and every Thursday we are very excited to welcome our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky to the program to catch up. Hey, Doc, how are you, man?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Did your Teen Mom special aired already this week?
Thank you for noticing. Yeah. Glad you tuned in.
What he meant to say was, it was great.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
It has been amazing how that has taken off, and I was reading some of the press around that, and I saw a statistic that sounded too shocking to believe, Dr. Drew, and tell me if they're just talking out of their ass or if the Centers for Disease Control has this right. They said 3 out of 10 American girls becomes pregnant by the time they are 20.
Yeah, I believe that's right. Isn't that incredible?
30% by the time they're 20.
Yeah, isn't that something? And 50% of women will experience an unwanted pregnancy at some time in their life. So it's terribly, terribly common stuff.
Dude, you got to get, like, fellow physicians together and come up with a way to stop that. You know, like, make it so that you don't have to get pregnant when you have sex.
Maybe we should do it. Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean?
We should do, yeah, something we can control.
Yeah.
Fertility, yeah. And then maybe we should put together a television show where we follow young women.
Yes, that'd be cool.
The, yeah. There should be some type of contraption that men could use, you know, so that we could be in control.
That's,
you know what
another
I'm saying?
Good idea.
Like something we could control and prevent pregnancies.
That's shocking, 3 in 10.
Well, you know, and this, you're, we're making fun of it, but it goes to the point that, you know, when I talk to these girls, and I, this is true clinically when I talk to young people, and I talk certainly to the girls at 16 and pregnant, you, what you really find is they kind of intend to get pregnant.
Oh,
that
really?
There's this fantasy that, you know, they're miserable in their life, they've been abandoned or abused by their parents, and if I just had this wonderful little plaything that would love me, it would be great. You know, there's always that fantasy behind this, or a desire to sort of use the pregnancy as a way to sort of lock in the man, the male in the relationship, too. Yeah.
And that's the one thing you can count on is the teenage father is not going anywhere. Once a baby comes, you can guarantee that guy's going to stick around.
Right, that's the other thing. I don't want to make it sound like I'm sort of blaming teen women for teen pregnancy. It's just that's sort of their mindset. The real tragedy in this is exactly what you guys are saying, is that the guys just take off. Yeah. The men are never around. And, in fact, we did, I think, there's another 16 and pregnant reunion coming up. We did for the second round of kids for 16 and pregnant. And what was unusual about this group is that the men were around. About half the guys were around, and they were a good group of guys, too.
Huh. Well, probably because they thought they could be on TV. That's why they stuck around. That's probably what made a difference. All right, let's turn our attention to the drugs for a minute. The drug czar of the United States, Gil Kerlikowske, was at the Pasadena Recovery Center this week, and I guess you were there. He was there to represent the feds speaking out against the California Prop 19. Is that right, Doctor?
I don't think anybody was really taking a strong position. I certainly don't have a strong position on Prop 19. I think that's something that the people of California got to figure out. My thing is that I'm sick and tired of not being able to have a rational conversation about pot. I mean, it's one of the most powerfully addictive drugs we deal with. We deal with it every day. It figures, you know, every patient I have now, I mean, really seriously, guys, every patient has a marijuana card. Everyone. I mean, Psycho Mike Breck got a marijuana card the other day. I don't know if you're aware
sure.
of that.
Yeah. Right, but we wouldn't need a marijuana card if they would just make it legal, though. I think that's the point.
Well, and so that's why I kind of don't care, is because the fact is, the reality is that all my patients already have this stuff, quote, legally. So whether or not it's, you know, officially legal or not, it's not going to make much difference to my patients. I'm
all right,
afraid.
We took a call this morning and we'd like to play for you.
From Joe Rogan?
No, actually. No, but it's from somebody that saw you on the news.
All right, well, I have to say, I saw Dr. Drew on the news yesterday, yeah. And I used to like him. Now I think he's kind of a douche.
Oh, no. What happened?
He said that it only takes 3 experiences with marijuana to become addicted.
All right. Three experiences with marijuana to become addicted. She went on to say, I've been smoking it for 20 years. I can quit anytime I want. I quit for a month. I quit for 6 months. Yeah. You really are one of the lone voices out there that say that marijuana is addictive.
Well, I'm not a lone voice if you're a physician in addiction medicine. I mean, it's actually considered malpractice to advocate, you know, to say irresponsible, let's say, to say that it's not addictive for some people, not for everybody.
That's a key, because I think for most people it isn't, right?
Neither is alcohol, Kevin. That's the point. Neither is any other drug. You have to have the genetic disorder of addiction to get addiction. And cannabis probably is even a slightly rarefied version of that genetic subset. In other words, not all drug addicts can even become marijuana addicts. It's probably a subset of addicts. But for those people who have that genetic predisposition, it takes about three exposures. The brain is sort of primed to the euphoria. And then, boom, from then on, people think about that drug, obsess about it, procure it. Mike, back me up on that.
Now, when you talk about that, are you talking about, like, if they decided to stop or whatever, would it have the same withdrawals as pills or heroin?
Guys, wait till you see Eric Roberts on this year's Celebrity Rehab. He has a severe marijuana addiction. He's in there just and only for marijuana. He's still working with us on this. It is a difficult problem. The withdrawal is intense. The way the drugs have been developed, I'm not talking about the 1970s marijuana. I'm talking about current marijuana. It has opioid-like effects. It has an opiate-like withdrawal. It's very intense, very difficult. And when people are addicted to cocaine, alcohol, and pot, the one that they have the most difficulty leaving behind is the pot. They love it. It activates that part of the brain that's involved in nurturance and love. And listen, I have no problem with any drugs. I have no problem with heroin or OxyContin. If people want to legalize that, whatever. I mean, listen, if you have pancreatic cancer, OxyContin's the best drug on earth.
Right.
But if you're an opiate addict, OxyContin can cause real problems for you. And if you people want to smoke pot once in a while, I don't care. But if you're a marijuana addict, we need to talk about it. That's all I'm saying.
I also think a lot of times people have an easier time reasoning with marijuana use because you can get away with using it. It doesn't really impact your everyday life in the same way that other more powerful drugs do.
It's subtle in terms of how it does its thing. But here's the problem, and I agree with this. That we have irrational laws around our drugs. I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
That we can say, well, alcohol and cigarettes are legal, pot's illegal, OxyContin, well, or heroin's. Look, I understand. That's irrational. I get that. But do we necessarily want to add another problem? I don't know. That's up to the voters.
I'm voting yes.
Okay, that's fine. I have no problem with that. why do people want to make me the man?
Because you are the man. That's why.
They think you're smart. That's why.
One more follow-up question, and that is, would you consider yourself a douche for saying that, like the girl said?
No. I'm just saying, listen, because, first of all, if she wants to vote legalized pot and the California voters legalized pot, God bless them. But if you're telling me I'm lying or what I'm saying doesn't happen, are you effing kidding me? This is all I do all day.
No, I know that. I'm totally aware of that, and we do nothing except make fart jokes. But really, it's not addictive for most people.
Absolutely not. Neither is alcohol. Neither is OxyContin.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, there's a tremendous amount of casual cocaine users in comparison to the people that end up living on the streets with a crack pipe in their mouth.
Absolutely true. And the fact is, look, it's all good. Our laws are irrational. It doesn't make sense to say the two drugs that have the most profound impact on our health and society are legal, alcohol and cigarettes.
Right.
How is that rational? I totally get that. I totally get it.
Dr. Drew, always a pleasure to talk to you. Don't miss The Good Doctor, co-hosting with our friend Psycho Mike 5 nights a week on Loveline. Check your local listings. Have a great week, man. Thanks for coming on.
All right, Jim.
Thanks,
bye.
Dr. Drew.
Deny my dear. Deny my dear.
Aww. Mumford and Sons.
Aww. Love them. They've got the little junk store.
That's not Sanford.
Grady comes by to play checkers with Fred. Oh, love that show, Mumford and Sons.
It is 7:53.
Here's what I like about Mumford and Sons. No one named Mumford in the band. No one's related to anyone.
No,
exactly.
Right.
Funny man Nick Swardson joins us in the next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Stick around for that. Now Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
What's going on indeed?
Well, we were hoping that you had those answers.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I got an instant request from a listener.
Okay.
Who said in honor of Kim Kardashian's birthday, which it is today, she is 30 years old. Can we look back and perhaps you can give us a list, Ralph, the listener said, of the top 10 celebrity sex tapes of all time.
Oh, good.
I say that's an interesting topic. There have been so many. And as I was doing the research, there's over 20 or so sex tapes that have been either on the internet or released professionally. There's a lot to choose from. So I whittled together what I think is probably my list of the top 10 sex tapes of all time from celebrities, which I thought, since Kim Kardashian sort of made her bones.
She did.
No pun intended. No,
I'm going to warn you, though. I saw the heat Kevin took for his list of the best breasts at KevinAmin.com. If you have your own list, people will still argue with you. You know that.
Well, I think this is pretty reasonable. It may be some minor squabbling, but I think for the most part, you'll agree.
All right.
Number 10 on the list, Vern Troyer's celebrity sex tape. It was awesome.
That was
awesome.
That was something.
Did he do the stand-up sushi bar?
I think he did.
Yeah.
I'm not mistaken.
Number nine, from pure freak show factor, Joni Lauer, better known as China, One Night in China, sex tape. Fascinating.
Yeah, that.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Fascinating, like train wreck, can't take your eyes off.
Exactly.
It. Yeah.
Which a lot of these celebrity sex tapes have that factor, too, though. I think that's part of what makes them interesting, right?
Yeah.
Number eight on the list, Kid Rock and Scott Stapp having sex with two groupies. Or four groupies, rather.
Never saw that.
Sex tape. You ever
saw
that
on
one?
A bus or something?
Yeah, on a tour bus. But just the combination of Kid Rock and Scott Stapp doing anything together, let alone boning a bunch of groupies on a tour bus, is just fascinating.
At
to
one
me.
Point, they're receiving.
Yeah.
And Scott Stapp says, "Hey, hey, hey!" So that Kid Rock turns the video camera towards him. He goes, "It's good to be the king."
Oh. Says those words. Says those words.
Wow.
Vince Neil with Janine Lindemuller and Penthouse Pet Brandy Ledford.
Sure.
Yeah. Seventh good on the list. Number six, Pamela Anderson, the only star to appear twice on our countdown today, by the way. Her and Brett Michaels make the list first at number six. And Nicole Noreen and Colin Farrell at number five.
Yeah.
Their 13-minute sex tape. Very entertaining and very athletic.
Ball throw.
And he's a hairy dude. Number four, Kendra Wilkinson, the most recent on our list, the Girls Next Door. She had an unauthorized sex tape at the age of 18, which turned out to be spectacular. Number three, Kim Kardashian and Ray J. Socialite and storekeeper Kim Kardashian, number three on the list. Number two on the list, I think just put a sheer impact. You got to put Paris Hilton and Rick Salomon on the list.
Sure.
Number two with Paris Hilton, One Night in Paris. And number one,
Harvey Keitel.
Harvey Keitel, that's right, the Harvey Keitel sex tape.
Which Pam Anderson?
Pam Anderson once again with then-husband Tommy Lee, of course, probably the most infamous celebrity sex tape of all time, and to my opinion, to this day, still holds up as the most entertaining on almost every level.
On every level.
Yeah, it rips. It's bananas.
It does rip, yeah. Yeah, you're right. There are so many, because I thought of a couple others that aren't even on that list.
I know.
I guess it's just become quite an industry. Remember the Gene Simmons sex tape?
That's sad. That's the saddest one.
That was not sexy
at all.
That's
the saddest one of all. With his shirt on. He's got his shirt on. And he's kind of gut hanging out. And he's got that hair helmet and stuff. It's just sad. Dustin Diamond, I thought of, too.
No,
Saved by the Smell. That's a bad one.
Yeah. Although the saddest one of all, I think, not that we saw because we couldn't see it because it would be illegal to see it, but would be the R. Kelly one based on what I've heard.
Yeah.
Based on what we've heard.
Because we couldn't see it because she was underage. But right. R. Kelly one, pretty sad.
There's several that we know about we've never seen. Like the Carrie Prejean tape, former Miss California.
Yeah.
We've never seen that one.
That's right.
That's out there somewhere.
Come on, people. Get those out.
I like the Keeley Hazel one.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
That's a good one,
but she's not a big enough star, really, to make the top 10 list. But that was my top 10 list, my tribute
that's
to Kim Kardashian.
Good list. Well done.
Thank you so much. Sir Elton John has joined the fight to save Lindsay Lohan. Apparently, he said...
What was that, Mike? What was that supposed to be?
I'm not sure.
He said that, he told NBC that Dina shouldn't be allowed to be in any contact with her daughter. He sees her as the problem. Even Elton John from a distance can tell that's the
does
situation.
Does Elton John know her dad?
Because he probably doesn't, no.
Yeah.
But Elton also believes she shouldn't be allowed to be in a recovery center that has televisions and swimming pools. I guess he wants her to have a little rougher time. Get a little more scared straight. A little less
maybe
pampering.
He remembers what rehab was like in his day when he went through it. It was tough, and he doesn't like to see these celebrities being pampered like
he
they
had
are
to
today.
Walk uphill in the snow both ways
that's
to get
right.
to his
right.
rehab.
Damn it.
Without shoes.
But he's been sober now for years and said he's got some insight, and he hopes Lindsay gets her help, but Dina's not going to be part of the solution. So there you go. Speaking of Kim Kardashian, apparently John Mayer has his sights set on her. Does he just want to have sex with everybody?
Yes. And he's doing it.
He sure is. New York Post says they went on a date this week, a group date with some mutual friends to see if they hit it off. But John was giving her the full court press. So, is it like the wobbly H, the full court press?
No, I don't think so. It's not the same thing.
But if you're John Mayer and the chicks dig you and you know that you have a pretty good shot of having sex with Kim Kardashian, you can't blame the dude for trying.
No, I can't. I would. Jean-Claude Van Damme says he did not have a mild heart attack this week.
As was reported by Ralph Garman.
I didn't report that.
Oh.
It was all over the internet, however.
I thought I could blame you.
The film was called Weapon. He's filming in New Orleans, and apparently there was a report saying he had a mild heart attack. He says no. He released a statement on his Facebook page saying, "Hours ago, I read a rumor online about me suffering a heart attack. Please,
Do not believe all what you read from rumors or any unofficial JCVD sites. Jean-Claude Van Damme, says Jean-Claude Van Damme, is 100% healthy, training well for taking the fight, and sending his fans and friends much love. So apparently,
is he doing that, he said, about himself?
Jean-Claude Van Damme said that about Jean-Claude wow. Van Damme.
Apparently, but he still blew it by passing on the Expendables, though.
That's for sure. And Katy Perry and Russell Brand arrived in India yesterday. Apparently this weekend they're getting married in Mumbai. And reports say it's going to be a Hindu ceremony at a luxury hotel followed by a week-long party that includes a three-day safari. They're going to have no money left after this wedding. Yeah. That's all I can suggest.
She'll have to tour immediately and he'll have to go back doing stand-up.
Yesterday was in the news, by the way. No prenup for this couple.
Oh, interesting.
They've announced no prenup for them. Russell Brand said he wants the day to be purely about their love for each other, not have to think about finances.
But what about the day 6 years from now?
Yeah, that's when they're going to pay
the price. Isn't she in more danger than he is, though?
I think she's one who would stand to lose more. Yeah.
Yeah, that seems...
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Carrie Fisher from the Star Wars films is 54 years old today. Actor Ken Watanabe celebrates his 51st birthday. Nick Oliveri from Queens of the Stone Age at one time. He is 39. Jeremy Miller from Growing Pains is 34. Michael McMillan from True Blood celebrates his 32nd birthday. And as we mentioned, Kim Kardashian, the Dash. She's 30 years old and very naked in W Magazine. If you want to pick up that issue, she looks pretty terrific on the cover. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Comedian Nick Swardson joins us on the Kevin Bean Show in studio for the first time ever. Man, I'm glad we got to meet you in person before you die. You look like hell.
Thank you very much, Amber.
What's going on? Is it just when you're launching a new show, you're just crazy, crazy busy trying to get everything going?
A little bit of that, but also I was shooting a flick this week. I did a couple days on this new Sandler movie, and it was the last day in this location, so I've been awake since noon yesterday.
All right. That's what you want.
Yeah.
But here's what's cool. About 50% of our guests will cancel in that situation.
Right.
Yeah.
It crossed my mind for a second, and then I said, no, they do not deserve, Kevin and Bean do not deserve that. And I rallied.
That is not, that's a lie.
I find it
interesting that you are on, I think this is fair to say you're in the Adam Sandler inner circle. You've worked with him on a bunch of his movies.
Right.
And that's such an interesting relationship he has. I mean, it just seems like he has his guys that he goes to and they kind of work off over here by themselves without any kind of interference from the rest of Hollywood. And they put out the movies that they want when they want. And every single one of them is good. And every single one of them makes a bunch of money. I mean, the guy has built an empire over there.
Yeah. No, it's pretty wild, man. He just, I don't know. He's one of the most creative, hardworking people I've ever met, and he's one of the most like down to earth and loyal guys ever. I mean, he's such a good dude.
Where are you in the hierarchy of the Adam Sandler chain of friends?
I think I just passed Gary Schneider, Rob's cousin. I think I'm right
Rob's
above
Rob's cousin.
Gary.
Okay.
No, I don't know, man. It's it's been good. I've got a really he's given me a lot of big opportunities this year, and I did a movie with him and Jennifer Aniston. It's probably one of my biggest parts that comes out on Valentine's Day. And then he gave me my own starring vehicle that comes out in April, where it's like a Napoleon Dynamite meets Boogie Nights, where I play a porn star with the smallest penis in the world.
That sounds fantastic.
And yes. You're the lead in that?
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's pretty crazy. So,
Psycho Mike, you're going to have a new cinematic hero.
Exactly. Something I can really relate to.
That's now. So you probably never imagined starring in movies when you began knocking around in comedy. I mean, at that point, the goal is just, hey, if I could make a living just being on stage, I'd be happy, right?
Yeah, literally it was like, I started comedy when comedy was kind of not cool to start in anymore. Like, I came after the 80s boom, for people who don't know, stand-up comedy was giant in the 80s. It was everywhere. There was 100 TV shows of stand-up comedy. And it really bottomed out kind of in the mid-90s, and that's when I started.
Good.
And people were like, why are you starting? It's kind of done.
This might not be good timing.
Yeah, I mean, literally people were like, no, I think it's over. Like, and so I would make like $100 a week, emceeing shows. And like literally like there was, headlining gigs were like $1,000 a week, and I couldn't even fathom. Like, that's all I wanted to do was just get to that level. And you know what I mean? So, yeah, I didn't.
You're making 100 a week.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was tough.
That's tough.
That's yeah. Ramen noodles many nights a week is what that is.
There's a lot of KFC side dishes.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah,
is Reno 911 the thing most people recognize you from?
Yeah, it's kind of split. It's kind of Reno stand up or Grandma's Boy. A movie I did with Sandler's company that's like this cult kind of rated R craziness.
That is such a good movie, and I wasn't aware of it until recently, and some of the guys here were like, you haven't seen that? I was like, I don't think so, and I saw it, and yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh, really?
That's
fantastic, man.
And what was the ice skating movie you were in with?
Blades of Glory.
Blades of Glory. You were great in that as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, people know me from Blades, but yeah, Reno's a big one for sure. Yeah, that's a show I miss. We really had a lot of fun doing that show.
It does seem like there are a lot of shows like that that come along that are just so funny to a specific type of person. You got a cult audience, but for whatever reason, it's just not enough to hang on. And people, you know, then it's gone and people really, really miss it because it was something different on TV.
Yeah. I mean, Reno 911 was a crazy show, man. And it was a show that they didn't – the people who created it were Thomas Lennon and Ben Garant, Kerry Kinney, who played Lieutenant Dangle, Lieutenant Junior, and Weigel. On the show. Yeah, they thought we were going to get canceled right away. So they were actually, like, really happy about it. But, like, they literally called me up. Like, we have this show. Do whatever you want. Think of the craziest character. We are going to get canceled fast.
So they said, get it in while you have time.
So it's like, all right, I'm going to be a gay prostitute in roller skates. I'm just going to go and just be the biggest gay prostitute. And then literally it was like, we're on for like 5 years. I was like, wait a minute. I thought we were canceled right away.
It wouldn't have been your choice if you knew you were going to do it for 5 years?
I mean, maybe, I don't know. But I definitely didn't plan on doing it for 5 years.
I mean,
my metabolism changed and the outfits got tighter and more uncomfortable. It was crazy.
Do you have parents, Nick?
I do have parents, yes. My father passed away, so luckily he was not able to see Reno 911.
It's a win for him.
What would he have thought? Is he the kind of guy that had your sense of humor? Is that where you got it from?
Yeah. He's a little bit more open-minded, but my mom has yet to see a Reno 911 episode.
Really?
That's probably best, right?
Yeah, she just couldn't. She was
what
not
about your
board.
Other movies? Has she seen those?
Yeah.
She's not seen anything, has she?
She's seen nothing.
No, should we call her?
Oh Lord!
What's going on?
She hasn't seen Grandma's Boy for sure. She hasn't seen. I don't know.
If you had a kid that was in a movie, you'd go.
I know. I know. She's like, I don't know. She's awesome, but it's something she just can't handle. She can't handle me. You know, in tight shorts, roller skating around, giving hand jobs. that's not what she envisioned for her son.
I can see that. That's difficult.
She was very confused about me making out with, or sleeping with, from the Partridge Family, Shirley Jones, the Grandma's Boy. Stuff like that, like, she can't really process.
Yeah, I can see that.
Oh, wait, I took her to the premiere of I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, which I was in, and then I forgot to tell her that I marry and make out with Ving Rhames, which was another curveball for mom. So,
hey, how about a heads up, did she say?
Yeah. And then my favorite was the movie was over and she was a little shell-shocked. And Ving Rhames walks up and he's like, what's up, mom? How you doing? My mom's like, what is happening?
Wait,
right
was
now?
It real? Did it really? Was it real? Is that what your mom thought? Is yeah. he moving in?
What? Oh, Nicholas?
That's great.
Dude, you need to have a comedy special called A Curveball for Mom. That is an awesome story. All right, we have to take a break. Nick Swardson is here. By the way, his new hit show is on the Comedy Central, don't you know? And it's called Pretend Time. And when we come back, we want to hear all about it. We want to hear about the wheelchair cat. We want to hear about the gay robot. I mean, there's a lot of stuff just right up our alley on this show.
Nick Swardson. More curveballs.
Exactly. Pretend Time. We'll return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Nick Swardson in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. You know him from that movie and that other show. And he is on Comedy Central now with a new sketch series. By the way, God bless Comedy Central. Let me say that first and foremost. For basic cable, man, they work hard at putting new and original stuff on the air. I got to give them a lot of credit for a lot of the programs that they've debuted over the years. The new one is called Pretend Time. Nick Swardson's Pretend Time. It debuted a couple of, last week, I guess, is when it came on for the first time.
Yes.
Tell us about it. How this come about, Nick?
It was kind of a crazy thing. My buddy called me up, and he ran a TV show. I don't know if you ever saw it, called Human Giant on MTV.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Which is really brilliant. I think a really underrated show. And he called me up, and he was like, had an idea for a new sketch show. And
now, does the word sketch show, does that put fear in your heart? Because those fail at an amazing rate.
Yeah, it did for sure. The thing that intrigued me about this show was that it was different than any other show that I had seen, where it was there's no live studio audience. There's no laugh track. There's nothing. It's just sketches segueing into each other, almost like Mr. Show used to do. And they go through like ubiquitous kind of screens and different like signs and stuff. I don't know. It's kind of weird, but it just was a different kind of style that I'd seen, and it's something I'd always wanted to do. I always loved sketch comedy, and you know, I really wanted to take a crack at it. You know what I mean?
It's kind of like a real life Robot Chicken.
Yeah, totally. Somebody said that the other day.
Yeah,
it's just, and you know, that's the thing I like about it. It's really random. The sketches don't go on, I don't think, too long. Like we can cut them off whenever we want, and they just keep, you know, it just keeps going, which I think is really cool. And we really push it too. Comedy Central let us, you know, it's definitely like, we definitely push it.
I couldn't tell. Maybe you can settle this for me. I wanted to buy a Prius. Is that just, are those real? Or is that part of your show?
It's still undecided. Like, okay. It could be in the near future.
Okay.
Right. Now, this is an automobile that runs on urine? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's so ridiculous.
It's awesome. Right. He's got the family in the car. Nobody went to the bathroom, right? See, because they need it.
Yeah. All right. Let me ask you about a couple of the sketches that I've heard of, and I apologize that I didn't see it when it debuted. But the wheelchair cat.
Yeah.
Who's he? What's he all about?
It was a sketch my buddy pitched me, and it was a cat. It's a kid whose mother leaves all of, like, $10 million to her cat, and this kid gets really jealous, and he gets all hopped up on cocaine and runs the cat over to trying to kill it and get the money, and he ends up maiming it, and the cat's in a wheelchair and has, like, a Stephen Hawking voice box, and they become, like, bitter enemies, and it's just this whole, like, life and times of this wheelchair Stephen Hawking cat that somehow also does cocaine. And, you know, he's got a voice box and talks like this.
And is he living a way cooler life than the poor kid is who's got no money? The cat is just, like, a rock star?
Yeah, the cat's, like, he becomes, like, a trust fund kitty and does, like, all this philanthropy, but... but he lives like this, like, paparazzi kind of red carpet lifestyle, and the guy's really bitter about it.
Now, I think there were the outtakes. After the credits, I saw babyorgy.org. Is that something?
What? Was that on my show?
Yes. You don't know that?
Babyorgy.org.
I think it was just like an outtake or something.
That sounds troubling to me. I don't want to be the first guy to suggest that maybe don't go there, but.
It could have been one of the porns I was watching.
I'm sure it was like an aside or some kind of crazy thing. Like,
I do have a clip. This is you at an outdoor restaurant, and two people are going to sit down, and they look at you, and they go, "We know him from somewhere." And you look at them, and you say, "I think I know them." And so I have a clip of that if you'd like kind of to get a sensibility for what this is.
Yeah. You go to St. Christopher's Church? Maybe that's it.
Nope. Where do you shoot guns? Reseda or Bakersfield?
Oh, we don't. Do you ever go to the wine tasting at Vendome?
I don't. Were you on a jury recently?
No. Did you get stuck with jury duty?
No, not exactly. Ecstasy Anonymous?
No.
Where do you get your scrotum pierced?
No, I don't do that.
Where do you?
I don't have one.
She doesn't have one. She's
okay.
A woman.
All right. SKA, Special K Anonymous, PCPA.
We don't do drugs.
What blood bank do you go to?
Oh, we don't, actually.
Where do you drink blood?
We do not drink blood. That's not good.
Where do you fart in homeless people's mouths?
No. Burnthorn.
You have a daughter, Maggie, at Patterson Elementary School.
Yes, we do.
Mr. Bennett, her art teacher. Ah, we finally found it. It's so great.
That one was one of my favorite ones. And the couple is so, like, you know, like middle-aged, just like sweet couple, and they're just horrified. Like, it gets so crazy. And wait, do you see the outtakes of that one? We got so filthy and insane.
The show sounds hilarious, Nick, and I mean, what a dream come true. I mean, you've been working hard and working for a long time in lots of different ways, you know, like you mentioned, the stand-up and the other shows, the movies and stuff, but having your own show and being able to kind of come up with an idea today and have it on the air in a couple of weeks has got to just be so fantastic for you.
Yeah, no, it's really great. It's really a dream come true. I mean, the show was like, it was really, you know, it was a lot of work. It was a lot more work than I thought, because it was like, you know, the show's all on my shoulders. And like I said, like, there's no cut to the audience. There's no break. It's just constant. So, yeah, man, it was really a challenge. But we're so proud of the show. I mean, it's crazy.
I've seen the first two episodes, and it's great.
Our friend Daniel Tosh tells us that they just give out money like by the millions over there at Comedy Central too. So you just must be rolling in it right now. I mean, sometimes you get $500 to make a half hour of network television. So I'm sure you just can't figure the biggest problem you have is figuring out how to spend all the extra cash you're getting from
yes,
this one.
I mean, right now I have dozens of dollars in my pocket. Dozens.
All right, check out Nick Swardson's Pretend Time, Comedy Central Tuesday nights at 10 o'clock. Nick, great to finally meet you, man. Come back anytime on the Kevin
Hey, man,
show.
I'd love it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, man.
All right. I got to give Dave the King of Mexico credit. One guest came through this week. Nick Swardson was supposed to be on last half hour, and he appeared, and he was here, and we got to interview him. So that's one for Dave filling in for producer this week.
All right. So producer Alex is out. So Dave, King of Mexico.
Is the man.
Is the man now. And
by the way, let's talk about this for a second before we talk about what a disastrous decision it was to put Dave in charge. I understand that he's the assistant producer, but that was really just a title so that we didn't have to give him a raise. We kind of tried to make him happy by calling him assistant producer. But this is like President Obama's got pneumonia, and they get the guy who stands outside the bedroom guarding the president. They get him to run the country for a week.
Yeah, I think we thought that through at the time.
It's just like next available body. Oh, we need a producer for this week? The Mexican kid. Let's let him do it. I mean, there was really no thought that went into this, and now we're getting the repercussions of that.
Well, there's a lot more organization that goes on. And we didn't realize that until we put Dave in that position.
I'm just saying.
But this week, let me just give you some examples.
Yeah, bring it.
All right.
Listen to Dave bring it as if he doesn't know he's failed on every level.
No, I want to hear it.
We had the Buried Life cast in. And how many times did it change, Bean? The names of the guys?
It went from four guys, and then it went down to two guys, and then it went to two different guys. Then it went to the one of the same guys and a different guy, and then it just went to one guy.
And which guy came through? Dave.
One of the guys.
Dave.
Yeah. We ended up with one of the guys.
How is that my fault?
Well, I don't know.
Exactly.
It seems like we would have gotten a heads up.
Here's the thing. When Alex is producer, we kind of get the feeling that she's pulling the strings a little bit. When Dave is a producer, we kind of get the feeling that he's just telling us what happened that he had nothing to do with.
Right, exactly. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. We had Rich Eisen scheduled every day this week, I think.
From the NFL
That's
Network.
That's accurate, right? Every day.
Every day this week we've had him scheduled. So far, okay. He has yet to appear on the air. We don't know why.
Zero appearance is not his fault.
Right.
So whose fault is it?
Yeah, not my fault.
Producer Dave.
Thank you, Kevin. Not my fault.
Seth Green was supposed to call.
That's right.
Sitting on that conference call, just waiting for them. Nope.
Seth Green says he was there and waiting.
Who are we going to believe? He also said he was waiting there for 20 minutes. And yeah, we know that wasn't true.
Here's what I know, Dave, is that we've had Seth Green on the show 20 times previously.
Yeah.
He's one of the most reliable guests we've ever had. And the 19 previous times, he was there on the phone when we went to him at the appointed time that Alex told us he was going to be on. The one time he scheduled to be on when you were producing, all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but we don't have Seth.
But it's not my fault.
He did tell us about that 5 seconds before the end of the song, if you recall.
Oh, that's right.
Wasn't my fault.
5 seconds.
No, that's right. Chip.
The song was literally fading. And he goes, hey, we don't have Seth. We were like, what? Let's see. Rich Eisen again on Wednesday didn't come through.
Joe Rogan
was going to be here at 8.
Okay, is that my fault?
And he got here at 9.
I'm sorry I made it rain.
Ariane Celeste was supposed to be in studio, and she ended up calling.
She was on the phone. That's right. She was.
She called in.
She was not there. As booked, right?
And then we had, today we had Rich Eisen from the NFL Network scheduled. And that didn't come through nearly. We're just saying these could all be coincidences. That's possible.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
It's just, you know, the week. It's a crazy week.
It is a crazy week. We're wondering why. And the only variable that we can find is producer Alex is out. But it's been a scary week, and I believe, you know, especially being this time of the year, that there is a movie being made now about producer Dave.
Uh-oh.
And it's not good for anyone.
Oh, guys, bad news. I don't know. I keep calling and calling that number. Rich Eisen won't pick up.
You're trying to do a radio show, but you never imagined you'd have to work with producer Dave.
Oh, guys, I got some more bad news. Seth Green won't pick up his phone. I don't know what to do. Anyways.
Male guests, female guests, none will be booked, producer Dave.
Guys, I know it's crazy, but I have more bad news. Joe Rogan is stuck in traffic. I don't think he's gonna make it for the next break.
When you least expect it, he will murder your show, Producer Dave.
Guys, bad news. We're going to have to reschedule a lot because the phones are not working at all.
Guests, equipment, ratings, none are safe, Producer Dave.
Guys, just play something. I don't know. The music and the little commercials are all gone.
Your audience will be tortured. Your careers will be murdered by Producer Dave.
Oh, I have bad news. Guys, I have set fire to the other half of the radio station. What should I do? It's not my fault.
Your ears will cry tears of blood, Producer Dave.
Guys, very bad news. Ariane Celeste is sick and will not be coming in. We might be able to just talk to her on the phone. All I know is it's not my fault.
This year, morning radio will be morning for radio, Producer Dave. This film has not yet been rated.
Yeah, there it is. That's our life, ladies and gentlemen. Now you know what it's like.
I'm not going to see it because I lived through it.
At least we've been on time.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, I want to thank Kevin and Bean listener Mike for writing in and really putting it in perspective, our producer woes this week. He says, the King of Mexico is to producing your show what the Clippers are to basketball.
Oh, snap!
Which is kind of hanging around in the vicinity of the actual people who do it for a living, but not really quite qualified to do so.
Yeah,
so there you go. That
like
about nails it.
I like it.
All right, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
This has nothing to do with Showbiz, but it's been bugging me for a while, and I haven't been bringing it up, but I think we need to address it in the air sometime, maybe next week. I know that we're coming towards the end of the week, but are you familiar with Valencia, California, the city of Valencia, California?
Yes. That's where Six Flags is, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Magic
Mountain? The Magic Martin theme park is up in that neck of the woods. Bean, you used to live up there, towards
yes.
there, didn't you?
Yeah, it's about 25 miles north of Los Angeles, a bedroom community in Southern California.
Are you familiar with the new advertising campaign?
No.
Yeah. Yes?
No, I'm not.
They are calling themselves Awesome Town.
No, they're not.
Yeah. Come live in Awesome Town, they're calling it.
Really?
Our residents call us Awesome Town, so we've decided that we're going to officially be Awesome Town. Come buy a new house here in Awesome Town.
It's said tongue-in-cheek.
No!
They mean
Awesome
it,
Town.
But they mean it as a joke.
I wish they had.
Because if you and I were to come up with a slogan, that's what we would pick, because it's funny.
Awesome food in Awesome Town, says their website today.
Awesome
this past
town.
Saturday, hungry foodies were finally able to satisfy their cravings at the Gourmet Food Truck Festival in Awesome Town. They call themselves Awesome Town. We need to talk to someone in Awesome Town, don't we?
We sure do.
Say, stop it, Valencia, California.
That's fantastic.
I've been to Valencia, California. It's fine.
Yeah, right. It is.
You should call it Fine Town, really, if anything. Should be Mediocreville. Acceptableburg. There's a lot of other names for that city other than Awesome Town. Not Awesome Town at all.
Oh, man, that's
it does
strong.
It takes guts to call yourself Awesome Town. It really does.
That's why I think they have to be. There has to be someone there with a sense of humor.
Kevin, I wish if you've heard the spots, if you hear the commercials for Awesome Town, it sounds very straightforward.
That's great.
Our residents call us Awesome Town.
That's great.
All right, let's move on to the showbiz news. You know what else is great? The sequel to Piranha 3D.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about. When?
Dimension Films has announced they are already working on the sequel to Piranha 3D.
Now, who survived from the first one, Ralph? The sheriff.
I'm trying to think.
Go through the list.
Who's the broad from Leaving Las Vegas?
Elizabeth Shue.
Elizabeth Shue. She's alive.
She's alive.
Her son's alive.
Right? And then that's it.
I think that's it.
And her little daughter. Her family is pretty much it.
The kids survived too, yeah. You know, didn't survive.
Yeah.
Kelly Brook.
But we don't. But we didn't.
Beloved.
But we didn't see
the porn star didn't survive.
Yeah,
right.
Jerry O'Connell didn't survive.
Correct.
Yeah.
A lot of death.
His penis didn't survive several times.
These are not happy fish.
Anyway, looks like it's going to be August of next year. We're going to get the sequel. By the way, Piranha 3DD. It's called.
All right.
Okay. All right.
I like the direction.
Piranha 3DD. They are just not hiding the fact about what they are. Which is why I love that.
It was all about spring break and TNA.
It was just
90% of it.
Hands akimbo.
It really was.
God bless him. A lot of it in 3D.
Kelly Brook, number 3 on my list, by the way.
Oh, is that today's expose or was that yesterday?
That was yesterday's.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
She's unbelievable.
She's magic.
And there's a scene from Piranha 3D that I put on the website, kevinandbean.com.
It's a motorboat.
Yes.
Yeah, good stuff. Speaking of hot chicks, we've been talking all week about the new photos of the Glee cast in GQ magazine, how some people are just spinning out about it. The Parents Television Council has gone ballistic, calling it borderline pedophilia. The photos in there, disregarding the fact that the actresses are both 24 years old that appear in the photos.
Their complaint is that they're playing high school age kids?
Yes.
And that they're being too sexual?
And that the magazine is for adult men, so men will look at those photos and somehow become pedophiles because those girls who are 24 play high school girls.
Is that how it works?
No.
Oh.
Not even a little bit. But that seems to be their fear. And now apparently Glee fans are upset about the photo shoot.
What?
Saying that Glee represents the losers of the world, and especially in high school, and the Glee fans, who are losers, say they can't relate to these characters. If you're going to doll them all up and make them look sexy and beautiful and attractive and popular in GQ magazine, it ruins what Glee is supposed to be about, which is...
Giddy up.
Let's hear it for the losers.
Yeah, that's true.
But having said that, half of the Glee Club members on the show are either also popular cheerleaders or members of the football team. It's hardly a group of losers.
And also, the losers in Glee are also very attractive, talented people.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
Even when they play the losers, they're not really representing you, you pimply-faced geek, because they're already attractive and rich and talented. So they're not you, really.
The only one that's you is the kid with the big afro who goes around writing for the newspaper. That's the only that's one who's right. really the loser
he's,
on the
he's
show.
He's representing you. Everyone else is a Hollywoodization of you. Anyway, finally got so bad, Diana Agron had to step out. She had to speak.
Okay.
She put on her blog today. She plays Quinn, the very popular, beautiful cheerleader on that
show. Super attractive.
In the land of Madonna, Britney, Miley, Gossip Girl, and other public figures and shows that have pushed the envelope and challenged the levels of comfort in their viewers and fans, we are not the first. Now, in perpetuating the type of images that evoke these kind of emotions, I am sorry if you are hurt or these photos make you uncomfortable. It was never our intention. And if your 8-year-old has a copy of GQ cover or GQ cover in hand, again, I am sorry. But I would have to ask, how on earth did he get there? And she goes on about talking about the fact that they're just performers and it was just another job and it's just a photo shoot and that's not how they go around in real life. And they're not promoting anything. It was just, they were just pictures, people.
Yeah, they didn't come out on the Nickelodeon Awards and wear short skirts and suck on lollipops. They did it in GQ in a fashion spread.
They didn't dance on a pole.
That's true.
Like
that's
Miley Cyrus did,
that's right.
for example.
That's right.
So there have been worse things.
I wonder how all this...
Let's put it to sleep.
Is this controversy helping or hurting Glee? What do you think? Because there do seem to be a lot of people who are now saying, man, that show's too racy for my kids. I don't want to watch it. But then on the other hand, it's kind of probably turning some people onto it.
Yeah, the numbers don't seem to reflect any loss of interest in Glee. Their ratings are still as strong as ever, so I can only assume.
I look at the PTC, the Parents Television Council, and I see their stance, and then I go the other way. I think that's so. Yeah. If they're a dead set against it, then I'm in.
It is like reverse recommendations over there. Jean-Claude Van Damme did not have a heart attack. He wants you to know he's fine. He's currently filming a movie called Weapon in New Orleans.
Weapon.
And the rumor had been that he had a heart attack. Jean-Claude went on his own website and said, Jean-Claude Van Damme is 100% healthy.
He didn't say, I'm 100%
no,
healthy?
He did
why
not.
Do people do that?
Because he's JCVD. That's why. Jackass 3D. Wildly successful in its first weekend, so much so that Paramount's already talking about the sequel. And Johnny Knoxville tells the LA Times, much like he said here on our show, that they've already got the footage. They could put a sequel out now if they wanted to. We shot 2 movies worth of footage, he said. We have so many bits that we never even turned into Paramount because we were so swamped with ideas. It's all very funny stuff. Bits were just coming out of us left and right. Yeah, I know. There was too much coming out of you left and right, quite frankly, in my opinion.
It's true.
A little more keeping stuff inside you, I think, would have been better for everyone.
Is the Pucano going to get its own spinoff?
I hope not.
I wasn't nearly as disturbed by the Pucano as I was by what I was finding out about the movie yesterday. That is just unacceptable to me. The sweat.
Oh, yeah, that was
drinking.
Yeah, that was gross.
No, that can't happen.
That can't happen. That was super
I'd rather
gross.
See a snuff film than to see someone drink ass sweat.
That was pretty gross.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But I don't want to turn people off to the movie because that is
no, why should you? There's just raging diarrhea and
let me say
drinking
this.
Ass sweat.
They had the same scene in Shakespeare in Love, if you recall, where they were drinking
true.
The ass sweat.
Yeah. Remember? Shakespeare's
the
ass
gross
sweat.
Gross scenes are 5% of the movie. 95% of the movie is just fun and hitting each other and getting run over by bulls and all the good stuff that you love about Jackass.
That's great.
So don't be put off by
wonderful.
The, I'm saying it's a
like
small
going to
percentage.
Cold Stone Creamery and they're saying
small.
5% of your sundae is ground glass, but the rest of it is delicious chocolate ice cream and whipped cream and cherries. So just eat up. Enjoy
I'm
your
saying
meal.
Go see it. Just go see it.
I'm saying someone
it's
drinks
worth
ass
it.
Sweat. That's all I'm saying.
So, Kevin, you're saying go see it, and yes. Ralph is saying someone drinks ass sweat.
Right.
And we should still go see it?
Yes, because it's choice. Such a small percentage of the movie.
Alcoa presents You Make the Call.
I'm going to see it again.
I told you that I was literally, and I know how to use that word properly, in my car driving to see Jackass 3D when I heard about the that scene and decided to turn around and go
home. Are you kidding? See?
I don't buy that for a minute, by the
way. I don't
either. He was really in the car on the
yes,
way to the
Yes, I was.
No,
I was,
you were thinking about it at home,
nope.
Sitting on your couch.
I'm not lying.
Brain in a jar, wherever you keep it, plugged into the internet. You said, maybe I'll go.
I was on the ferry reading my Twitter feed, and Mr. Movie Phone tweeted some of those details that we've been discussing here about the Jackass. And I said, you know what? It's Sunday morning. The Seahawks are on, and I'm not in the mood to go see a guy drink
bad.
Ass sweat.
So did you take the ferry back to the island?
You're bad.
I did.
You did the round trip on the ferry?
That's a terrible decision. It's such
off,
a funny movie.
Went to 7-Eleven, got a big gulp, and then went home. Yeah.
Look,
you made the trip worthwhile.
Yeah. It's a super funny movie, and if you have to close your eyes for 2 minutes, you'll live. What's happening here? Why are you guys such pussies?
I'm not a big fan of going to movies where I have to close my eyes at all.
Me either.
I like to watch the entire film.
Me either, but it's so worth it.
Kevin, you're saying the sex was fantastic. It felt great. Forget the part where you open your eyes and realize it was a dude. That's what you're saying, dude.
I'm not saying you even have to close your eyes. It's not a guy dripping ass sweat into another dude's mouth. End. It's not just poo. It's not a guy squatting and then it's hidden. It's hidden behind like really funny stunts. I mean, there's a reason for it.
Sure.
It's
there's got to be a reason
it's
for it.
Not no poo one would for just poo it's not poo for poo's sake.
It's such a small percentage of a funny movie.
All right. Okay, then. All right, then.
I hate you both.
No. You love ass sweat, apparently. That's all I know.
I do. Yes. That's a different topic.
When you went on the ferry... Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Carrie Fisher's 54 years old today. Actor Ken Watanabe is 51. Nick Oliveri, formerly of Queens of the Stone Age, is 39 years old. Jeremy Miller, one of the kids from Growing Pains, he turns 34. Michael McMillan of True Blood is 32. And Kim Kardashian celebrates her birthday today. She is a tasty 30 years old today.
She's
dirty 30 now.
Sweet!
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What you talking about, Ralph Garman, with the showbiz beat on the Kevin and Bean Show?
Michael Lohan, father of Lindsay Lohan, is no longer talking to the press. He said in a press release he released this week. Nothing more ironic.
Is he going to hold a press conference about not talking to the press?
I'm sure he will. He issued a statement saying he is no longer commenting on anything related to his eldest daughter, Lindsay, or his ex-wife, Dina.
This is like 7 years too late, this news?
He's done. He's no longer going to speak in public about his family.
Yeah.
Okay.
No longer talking to the press, he said to the press this week.
Yeah. So what's he going to do tomorrow when the judge decides whether she stays in rehab or goes to prison?
Talk to the
press.
Is
he just going to sit on his hands and not comment on whatever the decision is?
He's not commenting any longer.
Yeah.
He also said he's asking for forgiveness for those I offended and is doing this for the sake of the ones I love with hope of creating peace, he said.
That was written by a publicist.
Yes. I bet he's going to just release a lot of press releases about how he's not saying anything and that how much he loves everyone and he's hoping for peace and he's sorry.
He's always been about peace as far as...
He has. He's the Prince of Peace.
He is.
2.0.
Kim but a better version of the first Prince of Peace, right?
Oh, yeah. Much better. Kim Kardashian.
Wendell.
Is feeling pressure now that she's turned the big 3-0. Her birthday is today. She was celebrating all last weekend in Las Vegas.
She's a pretty good-looking 3-0, by the way.
She's a dynamic-looking young lady. And, you know, it must be nice to have casinos say, just come here and we will throw you a giant birthday party and then pay you to be here.
Yeah.
Here's some cake and champagne.
That'd be cool.
She said now that she's 30, she's really starting to think about, you know, marriage and kids and settling down. Because her baby sister's got one, you know?
Sure.
Right.
And Chloe could drop a foal at any time. Who knows? So she's feeling pressure. She's not in a serious relationship. Needs to get a man. Needs to start having some babies. Needs to start having some little brown babies.
Just thinking about Chloe. She looks like she's carrying a litter, like about eight of them in there.
Yeah. So she's panicking about not having started a family.
Well, that's going to...
Here's the thing. Why don't you panic about starting a career?
She doesn't need a career, Ralph. What she's doing is working, and there's not much work involved.
I don't like
it. She's making huge money for doing next to nothing. Why work?
I don't like it. Do not like it.
Armenian pride, huh? Glendale!
Yeah, Glendale. Kristen Stewart says she is very excited about filming the final installment in the Twilight series. Because Bella morphs into a vampire during the fourth film.
Yeah.
Oh, spoiler alert.
People have read the book by the millions. She can't wait to see her character do something different, she says. She's getting bored playing the same old Bella. We can't wait to see you do something different, Kristen Stewart. Instead of being all surly and cranky. And by the way, brush your hair.
Once.
And smile occasionally.
Once. So she's looking forward to playing the vampire, Bella.
So that's before or after?
They bite into her stomach to deliver the baby,
that's
right?
Before that's after the tooth C-section.
I just want to make sure. Okay. Well, now I know what's going on.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're going to reboot The Crow. Nice. Classic film with Brandon Lee, son of the legendary Bruce Lee. It was his final film. Brandon was fatally injured on the set of that film when a prop gun, went horribly wrong. Apparently there was a dummy bullet lodged in the barrel of the gun, and the explosion of the blank forced that bullet out of the barrel of the prop gun into his abdomen, killing him, eventually. And now it looks like they're going to reboot that series with Mark Wahlberg starring as the Crow.
Nope.
That is not going to be good for you.
Hmm.
I'm just telling you.
That isn't good for you.
Although, have you seen the trailer for The Fighter?
Yes.
This movie about boxer Mickey Ward?
Yes. I have.
I think it looks pretty good.
I do, too.
With Christian Bale as his brother.
Looks good.
Yeah, I think so, too. And Yoko Ono says...
Hey!
She was used as a scapegoat for the breakup of the Beatles. Is she still bitching about this?
Wow. Well, Beatles fans still are. So
I saw the interview, and in her defense, she's getting asked about it. So she does have to respond, I guess, when someone like Anderson Cooper says, hey, what about you breaking up the Beatles, bitch?
She says it was sexism and racism. She said everyone hated her because she was a Japanese woman.
Nope.
Married to one of the most beloved people in the world.
Nope.
You know why we hate her. It's her music.
Right.
That's nothing to do with her being a Japanese woman.
Stop doing this.
That's just her colonoscopy, by the way. It's not even any of one of her songs.
It is one of her songs.
If a Norwegian man made those noises, I wouldn't like him. It has nothing to do with her being a Japanese woman.
Correct.
As I mentioned, I saw the interview, and she was also saying that there was a lot of anti-Japanese sentiment then because it was right after World War II. Now, wasn't it 25 years after? Yeah, it was 25 years after World War II, but she said that that was part of the reason why everybody was against her.
No. She was just hideous. We're against hideous people.
Yeah.
That's all.
You happen to be a hideous individual.
That's right. Today's celebrity birthday is Kim Kardashian, as I mentioned, is 30 years old today. Michael McMillan of True Blood celebrates his 32nd birthday. Jeremy Miller of Growing Pains. He was, which Seaver was he, Mike? Do you remember? He was Ben Seaver. Yeah, he is 34 years old. Singer-bassist Nick Oliveri, formerly of Queens of the Stone Age, is 39 years old. Actor Ken Watanabe.
Hey!
Is 51, and Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia, the three good Star Wars movies. She is 54 years old.
And the Blues Brothers movie. I got to give her credit for that. She's very, very funny in that as well.
Entertaining. You know, she was dating Dan Aykroyd at the time they filmed that movie. And John Belushi said to her during the course of filming of the Blues Brothers, you do a lot of drugs. You may want to back off a little bit.
Wait, John Belushi said that?
John Belushi said to her, you may want to ease off the coke a little bit. That's when she knew she may have a problem. When John Belushi says, you may be partying a little too hard. who famously overdosed.
Yeah.
From drugs. Said, wow, Carrie Fisher, you do a lot of drugs for a little girl.
Take it easy.
And I think she's one of the stars who, one of her other marriages that broke up, by the way, was the one that her husband left her for a dude, if I recall correctly. I think that was Carrie Fisher as well.
I'm not familiar with that.
Had an interesting life.
She has had an interesting life. She's 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. It's Friday morning. That means we have the movie beat. Ralph will be telling you what movies are in the theaters. Why are you doing the Adam Carolla voice?
Sorry, just reflex.
Andrew Siciliano will be in the studio talking about football.
Nope,
very excited about that. LaQuisha will be talking about the season finale of Jersey Shore.
So sad it's going
away. Very so sad. And some dude from Dexter, also tomorrow. And
what dude from Dexter? What dude are we talking about?
David Zayas.
Oh,
the husband of the
lieutenant.
Yes.
Plays
that guy.
Detective Gomez.
Yeah, got some wacky. He's got some good guests. Good as any. He's got some wacky hats and some outrageous Hawaiian shirts. I know that.
He's a good cop though.
He is.
Yeah.
He's a bad bar fighter though.
He is.
Anyway, and we're continuing the belief that Doto is going to be on the program.
Oh,
and
stop.
He
it.
Claims that we will talk to him from Vietnam tomorrow.
This week with producer Dave, you're going to put that project in his hands.
He only responds to Bean, and he doesn't respond to anything Bean says directly.
Right.
So Bean will say, give us your phone number, and that's all it'll say. And then Doto will say, I like flan. And
right. But you believe somehow producer Dave's going to be able to lock down that interview, given all the circumstances surrounding that.
I think he's going to surprise us. I'm going to put my confidence in Dave, yes.
All right. Good times. So that's tomorrow morning.
No guests will be booked.
On an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. The beautiful Kat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including the latest from Jimmy Eat World. Also, some Blink 182. We got Muse, and because you demanded it, yes, the Toadies will be included. Coming up next, they're on the world famous K-Rock.